because you go into that by momentum. I know Penrith are putting a lot into today's game, re the Sharks, as no doubt the Sharks will, Souths and Raiders, because you want to go into that bye with winning momentum. For the Panthers, Jimmy, coming out of the bye, we mentioned earlier some of their best players hopefully returning from injury, including Souden Wallace. It'll
be very interesting to see whether Tim Sheens and the Australian selectors go with Billy Slater without a game. He was very close to playing for the Storm last night and he didn't. So as a result of that, Greg Inglis would be my fullback. Will Chambers on the wing with Justin Hodges on the right-hand side. Michael Jennings and Alex Johnston on the left-hand side. Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk, Matt Scott, Cameron Smith.
Yep.
Pretty much pick themselves through that middle part of the team. Aaron Woods to be the other front row. Ryan Hoffman and Sam Thyaday. And Trent Merrin would be my lock forward. Daly, Terry Evans, Corey Parker, Greg Bird and Glenn Stewart in the 17. Boyd Cordner, 18th man.
A couple of boulders. Alex Johnson though, but I know you had a massive rap on him. He's a try scoring machine.
Remember, he's in that Four Nations squad last year.
Yeah.
At the end of the season. So I think he's clearly on the radar and he's just continued to be a standout for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So Alex Johnson.
Corey Parker just misses out.
Corey Parker is in on the bench. Corey Parker on the bench. And of course there's a lot of guys like your Brett Morrises and your Billy Slaters and your Bo Scotts and your Aidan Guerras and Josh Morris who were playing for Australia last time they went around, unavailable because of injury.
I think they'll pick Billy Slater, Jimmy.
Yeah, they could do.
Pick him and Inglis in the centres.
From what I understand, very, very close in playing for the Melbourne Storm last night.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie on the cutting edge of rugby league news every Sunday morning. He's with us again. G'day, Dino.
Good morning, man.
No run this morning?
No, Jimmy was Anzac Day yesterday.
Oh, so he's recovering.
All right, Dino. Then, Dean. How'd you go on the tour?
Had a little bit of luck, mate, but generally no good, and had a couple of bits generally no good. So, but it was a great day. I actually had a few beers with the New South Wales Origin coach, L. Daly, and he was in good form. And we just had a couple of beers, and it was a good afternoon.
Dino, when did you start, and when did you finish?
Ray, there are some things I'll fit and some things I won't.
Well, you've come up standing bright and chipper this morning anyway, so it's the main thing, Dino.
Very good. Well, I really love Anzac Day. It's really, truly one of the great days in Australian country.
It certainly is.
Did you know that there was rugby league played yesterday?
No, we watched all the games, Jimmy. It was a good afternoon, and I thought the Dragons-Roosters game was nice and gritty. It's one of those questions about coming off at half-time at the Hail break, rather. Yep. I guess they had no choice.
Yeah.
I was on Fox Sports a couple of weeks ago actually criticising the A-League for coming off in Brisbane for rain, and of course now it's happened in rugby league, but you know, I guess
it was a no-brainer, wasn't it, Dino? There was lightning everywhere and rain and hail. It was a no-brainer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they had to rain. Look, you know, we're a tough sport and we pride ourselves on being tough, but in those situations it played out. Welfare obviously is more important than anything else, I guess.
Yeah. Now, you hang around Laurie, I won't continue with that, but you hang around Laurie a lot. As a result of that, you would be privy to what's going through the New South Wales coach's mind in regards to selections. Based on the performance that we saw from the Dogs halves on Friday afternoon, any discussion about that yesterday during the course of your 8-hour drinking?
Yeah, it was discussed. Jimmy, look, at the moment, I think you'll find that Laurie wants to retain them. The theory is that, for years and years we lost, and for years and years we chopped and changed.
Mm.
Now we've finally won, and we want to chop and change it again.
Mm. What about form?
Form has been solid, I guess you could say, for Hodkinson and Reynolds. I'm not going to come out openly and criticise them. Andrew Johns had a few things to say about them, which stung the Bulldogs pair a fortnight ago. Look, there's still about 4 weeks to go before that side's announced.
Sure.
At this point, I think Laurie, I think he thinks that, look, we've won and the incumbents deserve first crack. And I probably tend to agree with him there that, you know, look, for years we changed, guys, and for years we criticised the selectors for chopping and changing game after game after game. We've had 17 different halves combinations since 2005.
So have some faith, Dino. Have some faith,
eh? Three games, and we want to change again.
So you're saying have some faith, Dino?
I think that's their comment, right? Yeah.
All right, let's have a look at the sides that are going to be announced this afternoon. Do you put Justin Hodges in your Australian side? Do you think Tim Sheens will put Justin Hodges in his Australian side?
I guess it'll depend on what you guys just discussed a few months ago, whether they pick Billy Slater.
Mm-hmm.
If they do, I think you'll find that Inglis and Jennings will be the two centres. I think they might, as Ray said, they might have a crack at Billy and just name him initially and see how he goes.
Yep.
The other question is, you mentioned Jimmy Ryan Hoffman, the second row. Luke Lewis is the other option there. Will Chambers will be in there somewhere. Scott Smith and Woods will be in the front row. Tarmow will be on the bench there somewhere. So it's going to be a strong side. Corden will be in there. Perhaps Merrin, Gillette, Miles, they'll all be sort of vying for positions on the bench. So it will be a strong side. But I guess the key question will be, you know, whether Billy Slater's there. And if he's not, whether that means Alex Johnson comes in and or Justin Hodges. Mm.
Dino, Jimmy's got Trent Merrin in his starting team and he is playing fantastic football ahead of Greg Bird.
Yeah, that's fine. I can understand Jimmy's logic there. I don't think that'll be the case when it comes to selection tonight. I think that Bird will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be Bird, Lewis, Thaiday, Woods, Smith and Scott will be that starting pack. But certainly, you know, certainly Merrin is going great guns, but I think you'll find that Greg Bird will be there ahead of him.
Will there be two Birds in the hand? Jack Bird's getting mentioned around. Even mentioned by Tim Sheens, which shocked me a little bit, Dino.
Yeah, I think you'll find that young Jack Bird might get a spot on the bench for Country.
Right.
Those games, of course, is now, I guess, a match where they blood a lot of players. Laurie Daly is obviously heavily involved in the selection there. He wants to see players that he thinks will be either Origin players now or in the future. So, look, I expect a lot of young kids to be in that side.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the countryside, you know, Fafita will be there, Clemmer will be there, Wade Graham will be there, young Siren will be there, and for Country, Tom will be there, Ennis will be there, I think Jack Whiten, Sione Matautier will be there, McManus Mullen, James Maloney will probably be there as well. So, look, it'll be a great rep weekend next weekend, full of the stars, and, you know, I guess the test match will be crucial given we lost the Four Nations final in Wellington last year.
Yeah. Dino, just throwing forward to Origins, a story today in the Sunday Telly by our good friend Dave Riccio that Laurie Daly, as you've probably been aware when you're having a few beers with him yesterday, will pick Paul Gowan regardless of whether he can play a game between now and, say, of Origin 1. I know he's not playing today, obviously, against the Panthers for the Sharks. What is your mail the extent of this sort of mysterious hip injury that Gowan's got?
Yeah, it's certainly a lot worse than what Gallen and the Blues thought, Ray. They're thinking of 3, maybe 4 weeks, so it's going to be extremely tight as to whether Gal can be there. Gallen himself is concerned about the injury. I think he's a bit shocked as to the severity of the injury itself. And, of course, you know, look, Gal's he's the New South Wales leader. He's the corner of the pack. He's been there for year after year. So, look, there may be the situation we have to confront that Paul Gallen might be there for Origin 1, but look, Gallen will be doing everything he possibly can. But, yeah, right, look, it's going to be very, very tight, and I'm sure they'll give him, you know, virtually up until kickoff. I know that's an old cliche, but look, they'll give him every possible chance to play, but it's going to be really nip and tuck there whether he takes the field for that Sydney game.
Panthers Sharks, 2 o'clock, Pepper Stadium. Any news?
Yeah, not a lot of this one, Jimmy, except Gallen is out, as we just mentioned. Of course, Sam Tagatese will come in there. That would mean Wade Graham and Michael Ennis will be the co-captains. There is a bit of news out of the Panthers, though. They've lost a couple of players. That's James Seguiaro and Dean Farrow, both out on the side.
Just for something different, Dino.
Ooh.
Panthers injury toll.
Yeah, it just keeps growing, doesn't it, Ray? Lewis Brown will come in there. And, of course, there is that 4 o'clock game up in Cairns, Barlow Park, South versus the Raiders. The Rabbitohs seem to be okay, guys, but Sean Fenton is in some doubt for the Raiders.
Okay, he limped off, I think, the last game that he played, Sean Fensham, and looked like a bad injury. Just going back to that Panthers, so Seguiaro out, Farre out, big losses there, especially from a New Zealand point of view with Farre. So Lewis Brown will go to dummy half, you're saying, Dino?
He's certainly coming in there, Jimmy, that's
okay,
correct.
All right, interesting. Any other news about?
Yeah, there is, Jimmy. I just want to bring up to date on the Nate Miles situation up at the Gold Coast. He's on a contract worth about $5,550 a year, but the option does actually include a pay increase. So that's where the situation is, and that's where the confusion is among the Titans fans. It's a lot of money that Nate Miles will be on next year if, in fact, he does re-sign.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, there is the theory that, you know, is he worth around $600 a year? He is a warhorse, and he's been a great player for many years, but, of course, those players who struggle after State of Origin. And I guess that's the quandary that Neil Henry is in, is whether to pay that kind of amount for Nate Miles. And as I mentioned last week, Manly is certainly in there hunting. Now, you discussed the Dragons a few moments ago. They're back in talks with Ben Cray and Jason Nightingale to extend their contracts down there at the joint venture club. An interesting one out of the Roosters, guys, Jackson Hastings, a terrific young player and a player of the future. But there is a bit of scuttlebutt around that if James Maloney re-signs, that Jackson may, in fact, consider leaving the club to try to have a crack at first grade. He's a first grade player and certainly a player of the future. And Penrith is one club being mentioned there as a potential suitor for young Jackson Hastings, if in fact he does go.
He's playing Holden Cup at the moment, and he's a cut above. He's a cut above in Holden Cup.
Look, it's an embarrassment of riches in many ways.
Yeah.
They will re-sign Maloney as early as this week. So, look, that may prompt some sort of domino effect. And in the meantime, they may actually lose young Jackson, which would be a shame, of course, given the wonderful history at the Roosters of his father, Kevin.
Yeah. All right, well, you continue with your recovery session today, Dino.
I'll be out at Pepper Stadium there, Rayboy. I'll be out your way. And
so will Jimmy.
It should be a good game this afternoon.
You'll see Jimmy out there. Should be a great game, Dino. And a 2 o'clock start out there for Penrith versus the Sharks.
Thanks, Dino.
Good on you, man.
Thanks, Dino.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie there, the best in the business. Good to have him on the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. A break, and then back with more callers.
When the weekend is over, Hunter's Postmortem gives you the chance to discuss all things racing. Every Monday morning between 9 and 10, talk with the best in the business. Ron Duffacy, Dean Lester, Tabs Glenn Munsey and host Terry Kennedy. Call 1353 53 every Monday and be a part of Hunter's Postmortem on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Brothers in Arms, celebrating the Aussie and Kiwi spirit. Over the years, the music from both sides of the ditch has made a lasting impact. Brothers in Arms features some of the biggest hits from Australia and New Zealand. 38 tracks on a special double album. This is the music of two great nations. Brothers in Arms. Check it out now.
Wales Truck Repairs. When safety and compliance are your priority, you can count on Wales Truck Repairs to get your truck back in business in the unfortunate event of an accident. Wales Truck Repairs is proudly Australian and for the past 40 years has earned a reputation for excellence and leadership in the industry. For all information, visit walestrucks.com, spelled W-A-L-E-S trucks.com.
All right, just been handed this live read by our panel operator, Hamish, who a little bit earlier in the program blew his nose on air. So just to let you know, that's a strike against you, Hamish. Okay, you need to be very careful about that sort of stuff. Exactly. Right now is the perfect time to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. If you're on the Coco Joy, Hamish, you wouldn't have a runny nose. Let me tell you, there's no better refresher than Coco Joy 100% coconut water. It's naturally sweet and it's chock full of goodness. And there's no nasties, Raymond, like added sugar, preservatives or concentrates. Did you hear the blowing of the nose? Ray, did you hear the blowing of the nose?
I did.
Thank you.
But it didn't put me off because it's a natural bodily function. You can't...
On air, during a radio program?
You should just press the mute button, yeah.
Compared with other typical sports drinks, it also contains higher levels of potassium, fewer calories and less sodium, which all assists with recovery after exercise. Great news if you're into your sport, or always on the move, or have a runny nose. Coco Joy, 100% coconut water, is also dairy, gluten and soy free. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online, Hamish, at cocojoy.com.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Morning, guys. I will declare I'm a Chook supporter. That said, I have long thought Roosters players not laying down is costing us greatly. What a disgrace our game has come to this. Mm. Watched all three games. All three had players staying down. Watched a boring half of the Waratahs. All right, okay, look now. As a rugby league fan, to stay down on Anzac Day of all days. those players should be ashamed to do this on a day to celebrate our heroes. I know Trent Robinson was on it about it again, but I tell you what, there was a situation in this game, and I know he's like this, but Justin Hodges in that Broncos versus the Eels game, you know, he did the biggest flop. When it
we
was
don't want
seen to
become
be
like
tackled
soccer.
High, and then the referee who saw it all gave him a penalty. You're rewarding that behaviour. I don't understand that.
And
anyway,
that's the key, Jimmy. You've got to see through that. You don't want it to become like soccer.
Agree. 13:53:53. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, boys. How you going?
Very
good morning,
well,
Dennis.
Jimmy, the situation yesterday when the St George tried. You know, if it's a forward pass prior to it, and the players scream out forward pass, and he gets them to have a look.
Well,
surely the people upstairs could have said, "Hey, you better have a look at this."
Yeah, this was the one where the ball was being shuffled out over the dead ball line, and well, I only saw that on highlights, but you look at that and you go, "Well, that's a try."
Yep.
And they did their best, the Roosters, to restart play without them having a look at it, which is where the video referee should be tipping, saying, hang on a minute, send it up to me. Especially, if it was a little knock-on or something like that, you know, forget about it if it's in the field of play. But if it's a try,
well,
I agree with you.
The thing is, Jimmy, at the start of the season, you put the Roosters players on the market and St George on the market, what do you get?
A disparity of about $2 million.
Exactly.
Brilliant. It is so good. Like, I'm not a, I don't really support any of them anymore. I just have a look. And the way, and I just kept willing St George to win. The way Mary's got them, and then the camaraderie and whatever, it's just beautiful. Tell me, Jimmy, Nostradamus, you and Ray, who's going to win the competition?
Oh, now that is an excellent question.
I really read your tips on the races and everything. I follow the first four selections and do it every Sunday and whatever.
Yep.
Tell me who's going to win the football. Tell me who's going to be in the four. Tell me who's going to be in the eight.
Well, as a guy who goes for St George and Penrith, I'm still banking on both my teams being up there. Look, I think South are still the team to beat. Missing Reynolds has brought them back to the field a bit, but they've got so much depth and so much talent, they're still the team to beat. The Roosters are on a bit of a slippery slope at the moment. They've gone 0-4 now the past month, so the pressure's on them a little bit. But again, they've got so much talent across the board. I think they're the two teams to beat. But St George, you're right, Dennis. They're great to watch. They're refreshing to watch. When you see a team play as a team, as St George are doing at the moment, they can do anything.
Well, as of last week, the Roosters, despite three straight losses, were still leading the premiership betting market. Yep. Now, have a listen to it. Mm-hmm. 6.50. One of three. Sydney Roosters, South Sydney, and the North Queensland Cowboys. And the Broncos are into 7.50.
Queensland, they're playing well, Brisbane. We keep overlooking them. They're going fantastic. 6-2, top of the table.
Yeah, they are. And the other team that is creeping up on everyone is the Melbourne Storm.
Until last night, yeah. The Cowboys, they've got some momentum going. And whenever a team's got Jonathan Thurston at halfback, playing in the form he's playing at the moment, and you would have had the privilege to watch him yesterday.
Oh,
Jim. What
ringside
a player.
Seats.
What a player.
Yeah, incredible. Taumalolo will be back at the back end of the season too, so that's going to help with their momentum leading into the final series. But in answer to your question, who's going to be the premiers, who's going to be the top four, who's going to be the top eight, Dennis? I don't know. I don't know. It's very hard to pick. Time now for a sports update with Tanya.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend with a sports update, here's Tanya White.
Oh, to be a Dragons supporter, St George Illawarra clocked up its sixth straight win last night with a 14-12 victory over the Roosters at Allianz Stadium. The defensive wall from the Dragons start again, with both teams scoring twice. North Queensland 26 beat Newcastle 24 at Hunter Stadium. Manly won its second game of the year. Both wins have been against Melbourne. Last night scored 12-10 at Amy Park. The Broncos remain on top of the table on percentage over the Dragons, thanks to a 28-16 win over Parramatta. And in the early game, the Gold Coast 32 beat the Warriors 28. Looking to today, it's Panthers v Sharks at Pepper Stadium. South play Canberra in Cairns at 4 o'clock. The Waratahs put together back-to-back Super Rugby wins with victory last night over the Rebels 18-16. It was a hard-earned win by the New South Wales team. Coach Michael Checker said it was far too close. Also early last night, the Crusaders, coming off back-to-back losses, beat the Blues 29-15. This morning, the Lions beat the Cheetahs 34-29, and the Storm Stormers 15 beat the Bulls 13. Reds and Hurricanes play today. Adelaide found some form heading into the A-League finals, defeating Melbourne City last night 4-1. Perth beat Western Sydney 2-1 at Pertec Stadium. Neither team will play in the finals and are probably both happy to finish the season. The Wanderers because of poor play and the Glory because of salary cap discretions. Wellington hosts Sydney today and a win or a draw will elevate the Phoenix above Adelaide. Melbourne Victory looking to wrap up the Premier's plate are home to the Central Coast. GWS is sitting in third spot. What are the chances on the AFL ladder? After another win yesterday, the Giants have won 3 from 4. They defeated the Gold Coast. No, they actually thrashed the Gold Coast 119-53. The Swans not good enough for Fremantle. They went down to the Dockers 74-60. In other games, Port Adelaide 99, Hawthorn 91. Collingwood beat Essendon 69-49. And Carlton, the Blue Boys, scored a 40-point win over St Kilda. In English Premier League overnight, Southampton and Tottenham played a 2-2 draw. Burnley 0, Leicester 1. Crystal Palace 0, Hull 2. Newcastle 2, Swansea 3. Nil all QPR and West Ham. 1-1 Stoke and Sunderland. 0-0 West Brom and Liverpool. Man City 3, Aston Villa 2. Third round play at the Zurich Golf Open in New Orleans has been suspended because of the weather. All but the top 15 did get to tee off. Jason Day is on top of the leaderboard. He's at 12 under. He leads by 1. England has defeated the West Indies by 9 wickets in the second cricket test at St George's to lead the best of 3 series 1-0. The first test was a draw and the third test starts on Friday in Barbados. And Caroline Wozniacki won her semi at the WTA event in Stuttgart overnight. She defeated Simona Halep in nearly 3 hours and she'll play Angelique Kerber in the final. I don't think that 3 hours will bother Caroline somehow because she did run the New York Marathon last year. Boy, just quickly, love him or hate him, Russell Crowe
love him.
Has done more to promote the NRL
unbelievable
than anyone ever. Remember John Rebo, the big visionary, was going to take the game.
Laurie Daly wasn't going to be able to walk down the streets of Beijing. That's true. That's what he said.
That's the statement. Yes,
the reason I say this is because Rusty appeared on The Tonight Show, which is the highest ranking talk show in the US.
Is that Jimmy Fallon? Jimmy Fallon,
and
yeah.
He's taken over Jay Leno.
Correct.
He's done a great job.
Yeah.
And he appeared a couple of days ago distributing premiership caps to Jimmy Fallon because apparently he'd been in constant email contact through the season, particularly in the final series. Jimmy Fallon saying, I remember I was getting lots of emails from you because I knew you were, they were your team. And, hey, congratulations, you're in the final, man. I'm so psyched for you, you know, that type of thing. So
yeah.
So Russell's throwing caps everywhere. And at the end, a typical Russell Crowe speech, like it's coming out of a movie. He said, after a 9-year process, we took them from being perennial losers to being competitive, to being dominant. And on the 5th of October last year, for the first time in 43 years, South Sydney raised the trophy.
It's scripted, isn't it?
Beautiful, beautiful. But seriously, I mean, he's done more for NRL and, you know, than anyone else ever.
On my word. I'm Lee Hill.
Sky Sports Radio takes you racing right around New South Wales. And the country and provincial carnivals are about to take centre stage. Centre stage. Racing HQ will take you trackside for the Wagga 2-Day Cup Carnival. And then in May, it's off to Scone, the horse capital of Australia. Racing HQ, Tuesday to Friday mornings from 9 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
If you're building a house, you'll want the highest quality lintels at the lowest possible price. For concrete lintels, galvanized steel lintels, render mesh bars, T-bars and other steel building products, the Builders Steel Direct team can't and won't be beaten on price or service. Next day delivery is guaranteed. For the best lintels, T-bars, render mesh and arch bars at unbeatable low prices, check out builderssteeldirect.com.au or call Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialists, 9623 8584.
That's the sound of summer ending.
And a glorious new season of AFL starting. And to welcome the footy season back, here's a terrific offer from the Tab. Place a head-to-head bet in rounds 1 to 4 of the AFL with your Tab account or Tab Rewards card, and if your team leads at any break but loses, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50 or equivalent points.
Only at your local TAB, tab.com.au or on your mobile. See tab.com.au for T's and C's. Gamble responsibly.
Matilda Claire Polkinghorne coming up very shortly. Then we'll have Dave Dennis, the Waratahs skipper, Jake Marchetto from the St George Illawarra Dragons, as well as Trent Lanscow from tab.com.au. A proudly Australian-owned and family-operated business, Garlow's Pies are the best premium quality pies. I wish we had some, Raymond.
Still none in here, Jimmy.
The difference with the Garlow's pie, and it's not that he didn't deliver them.
Well, eaten.
All eaten. That's on Friday. The difference with the Garlow's pies, it's deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom which is rolled extra thin, and a filling full of only 100% lean Aussie beef. These pies are bursting with flavour. Garlow's pies are available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if you can't find them, please go and ask for Garlow's pies by name. They're a magnificent range. They've got the chunky steak, the curry beef, and the chicken breast pies, plus Garlow's selection of family pies, junior pies, and their famous sausage rolls, to name a few. You can feed the family. Garlow's pies. They're thin on pastry. They are big on meat.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Radio's biggest and best serve of weekend sports.
And we're back with the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. And Jimmy, can I intro Claire?
Oh, you better. It's family.
Look, it's terrific that Claire Polkinghorne, all the way from Brisbane, is about to join us, Jimmy. Hopefully she'll make the World Cup squad that goes to Canada next month. He's been a regular player in the Australian Matildas. And Claire, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. And look, I know speaking to you yesterday, you've been locked in a training camp for in recent days. You've given the weekend off, basically, and go back to the camp on Tuesday. How are is the preparations going for the World Cup?
Yeah, preparations are really good. As you mentioned, we've just come out of a camp. We got home yesterday and heading back down to Canberra on Tuesday for another camp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've spent the last probably 6 or 7 weeks overseas training together. So we've got some good international games under our belt and training's been really, really good.
We know a lot about the external expectations for the Matildas.
What's, very high, Jim.
Yeah. What about internally? Where do you go? Do you put a limit or an expectation about where you want to be in this World Cup, Claire?
Yeah, I think everyone goes to the World Cup wanting to win it, and that's right. No different with us. And we've got a very talented group of girls, and we've had really good preparation. So if we can continue that in the last 4 or 5 weeks leading up to it, I think, you know, we've given ourselves every chance we can to do well.
Looking ahead to the World Cup in Canada, Claire, is it Japan and probably the US of A the teams to beat?
Yeah, I think we're at the stage in women's football where there's probably 4 or 5 top teams that on any day can win it. Mm-hmm. Japan, obviously, winning the last World Cup, are strong in women's football, and USA, Germany, Brazil, they've all been the powerhouse of women's football, so they're also up there.
Do you take any confidence, do you get any lift out of what the Socceroos did during the Asian Cup? Is that mentioned at all during the course of your preparation, Claire?
It's not mentioned, but obviously we're big supporters of the Socceroos and we feed off their success, and, you know, they did extremely well at the recent Asia Cup, and it sort of puts football on the map in Australia, and
yeah,
the support that we can get as well, the better for us.
Of course, Claire, the Matildas were runner-up in the Women's Asian Cup, beaten 1-0 by Japan. So, and by all reports, a little bit unlucky in the final.
Yeah, we went down 1-0 in that game, and Japan got an early goal and sort of defended for the rest of the match really well. And, you know, they're a world-class team, and they know how to win games, and I think we learn a lot from that game, and we can take that experience with us to the World Cup.
Newly installed coach for the Matildas. I'm going to try have a go at the pronunciation, but Alan Stajic.
Alan Stajic, yep.
Stajic, yeah. What sort of things does Alan bring to the team that you think weren't there previously, Claire?
I think he's really brought us together as a group, and you can just see the way that we've been training together and on and off the field there. We're a much tighter group, and he's a very structured coach, and he's been working through our style of play for the last 4 or 5 months. So we're going to be a well-organised team, and yeah, he's drilled us well.
Claire, just finally back into camp in Canberra Tuesday. Do you know when the World Cup squad is announced for the Matildas?
Not exactly sure of when it's announced, mm-hmm. but the final team will leave on the 23rd of May, so it'll definitely be before then.
So it must be an exciting time for the team with the World Cup just around the corner.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. We've had a long preparation, and it's getting down to the business end, and it's really exciting. And you know, I've been to a couple of World Cups before, and it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, you're always looking forward to playing on the big stage, and there's nothing better than a World Cup.
And Claire, your Uncle Ray tips winners every week in the newspaper. Do you ever take him up on any of his tips?
Yeah, of course.
That's a terrific answer, Claire. It's outstanding. Hey, Claire, whilst you're over in Canada, look, we might even check in and see how the Miss Hildas are going through the World Cup campaign if the time difference works okay.
Yeah, not a problem at all. That'd be good to catch up.
Fantastic, Claire. Look, good best luck.
Yeah, good luck with the announcement. Good luck when you do make that side, Claire.
Thanks very much.
All the best, Claire.
Claire Polkinghorne from the Matildas there. The Women's World Cup, it starts on Monday the 6th of July. The first game for the Aussies is against
America,
the favourites, the USA. They're $3.75, Germany $4.25, Brazil $6. You mentioned Japan as well, Raymond, $7. You get down to the Aussie girls there at $34. We do wish them all the very best. Tell you what, tough day at the office for this man yesterday, Trent Lanscarley. He would have been there and all his Hawthorn paraphernalia. He's got a Hawthorn shirt, cap, a big hand that he waves, and he's also got a Hawthorn cover
phone. Would he have worn his Hawthorn paraphernalia today?
Trent Langscale, please answer.
No, Jimmy and Ray, I kept it in the closet today.
Oh, fair weather fan.
No, absolutely not. I've still got the lanyard on, Jimmy. You can't see it, but everyone knows who I support down
exactly.
here. But, it was a disappointing first quarter and a half. Port Adelaide completely blew them away, but that's just the way it goes. They managed to hang on in the end, but just going back to the drawing board for the Hawks there, 2-2 after the first four ends.
I love the way that Brian Lake picks up a knee injury, has to leave the field, but he still gets an opportunity to get a shirt front in as he is leaving the field.
He's probably fortunate the Port Adelaide opponent that was just a shirt front, not a fist.
Yeah, well, there you go. Righto, mate, NRL, two games to round out round eight.
Yes, you've been talking about them this morning as well. 2:00 at Pepper Stadium, Penrith. The original favourites at $2 with Cronulla at $1.85. I say the Panthers were the original favourites because in line betting, Penrith -1.5 is at $2.10 and Cronulla +1.5 at $1.70. Margin betting at the end of normal time, the Sharks by 1-12, $3. The Panthers 1-12, $3.10. The Sharks 13+, $4. The Panthers 13+, at $5. And in the first try scorer, Dallin Waiteni Zalesniak is the $9 favourite. And then 4:00 at Barlow Park in Cairns, South $1.37 against Canberra at $3.25. The Rabbitohs giving away a 10.5 point start. For the margin betting, the Rabbitohs 13+, $2.25. Then by 1-12, $3. The Raiders 1-12, $4.50. And 13+, $8.50. Alex Johnston and Dylan Walker, the $8 favourites, to score the first try, with Greg Inglis at $9. And Jimmy, I heard you before talking about the Premiership. It is really tight. You've got North Queensland, South and Sydney Roosters all at $6.50. Brisbane $7.50. Melbourne $8. St George Illawarra, the fairy tale continues there at $9, and then Canterbury at $11.
Trent, just before we get into the AFL, just quickly, yesterday the races at Randwick, the last race was called off. What happens to those quaddy bets that were going into the last?
Yeah, anything with quaddy bets or the big six or the daily double, that with that rate, but if you had the first three winners, you're pretty happy, and then the field is the last leg. So as long as you got the first three winners, you still would have received a dividend, with the field just being the last leg of the quaddy there at Randwick yesterday. And same with the daily double, the winner of race six into the field in the second leg, and big six is the same thing as well. So if you were betting on, say, the win, place, trifecta, those are refunded because obviously the race didn't take place. But in those multiple bet types, as long as you had the winners in the first couple of legs, if it was the quaddy or anything of that nature, you'll still get a dividend, with the field being the second leg or the last leg of the quaddy.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks for clearing that up, Trent. Three games of the NFL to go. The AFL to go in this round four. We've got the NBA playoffs where there's plenty of Aussies involved in that one. We're going to put our skates on, mate, and get going. You enjoy your day off. Get out from underneath that Hawthorn doona when you do get the chance.
That's right, Jimmy. The Melbourne victory scarf has come out.
Rock solid. Rock solid. Thank you, Trent. Trent Langscale there from tab.com.au. We do have to get our skates on. We've got a big last half hour of the program. We've got Jake Marchetto from the St George Illawarra Dragons, Dave Dennis, the captain of the New South Wales Waratahs, and Steve Foster and Sons, courtesy of Scotty Foster.
Sky Sports Radio takes you racing right around New South Wales. And the country and provincial carnivals are about to take centre stage. Racing HQ will take you trackside for the Wagga 2-Day Cup Carnival. And then in May, it's off to Scone, the horse capital of Australia. Racing HQ, Tuesday to Friday mornings from 9 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now...
you can eject on your multi with Babs Cash Out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land.
With that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. Available at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Tab Saddle Up Sunday. Visit our most exciting regions, like the picturesque Hunter and Northwest.
It's Tamworth's turn to saddle up today. A great day for the whole family is guaranteed. Featuring fashions on the field, live music, plenty of kids entertainment, and a range of hospitality options available. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing have the mounting yard covered.
For more on Tab Saddle Up Sundays, visit gocountryracing.com.au.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred, maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogues are available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. No more unnecessary transport of valuable assets. With regular sales, there's no more waiting. Log on and become a member today. Access to bloodstock across Australia and internationally at bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Well, another cliffhanger yesterday, Jimmy, between the Roosters and the Dragons, and another fantastic Anzac Day clash, and it was the Dragons once again emerging on top. 6 wins in a row now. They share the competition lead with the Broncos after eight rounds. I just want to say it while
Make the most of
it. And one of those players involved yesterday, a terrific match, Jake Marchetto, has been good enough to join us. Jake, good morning and congratulations. That's 6 in a row. There must be a great feeling within the team at the moment.
Hey, boys. Yeah, it's a pretty good feeling at the moment. We're all pretty confident. It was just good to get the win yesterday.
The change. And it happened at half-time in round three. Jake, what do you put it down to? I know confidence is a very important thing, but that defensive wall that we talk about with St. George Illawarra, that started at half-time against the Raiders. How do we explain it?
Mate, I can't really explain it. We sort of just are just doing it, just working really hard for each other, and you know, it's paying off dividends because we're, you know, holding teams to low points and we're ending up getting away with the win. So I can't really put it down to too much, but us having a big dig in pre-season on defence, and it's just sort of starting to click for us.
Yeah, Jake, Jimmy mentioned earlier about teams when they get on a roll and their defensive structure and they start playing for each other, and then that belief starts coming through. It almost looks like you guys won't let teams score because you don't think they can score against you, and your defensive wall just gets tighter and tighter. You're playing for each other.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing, you know. We sort of, before we go out, we sort of look each other in the eye and just, you know, say we really want to have a dig for each other. And, you know, it's paying off on the field because he's been talking about it for a while now, and we've been going really well. So we just got to keep doing it. It's about doing it consistently, and hopefully we're doing that.
How do you describe Paul McGregor as a coach, Jake?
I can't speak highly enough for Marion. I think I speak for all the boys in the team. You know, he's really put a lot of effort in with us, and everyone sort of, you know, got on board what he's trying to do. And, you know, we're really, really, really proud to be part of the Dragons team at the moment. And, yeah, can't speak highly enough for Mary.
He's an important part of your journey too, Jake. You know, you were there at the Dragons previously. Yeah, went away, played a couple of years, I think it was for Redcliffe, in the Intrust Super Cup. But it was Paul that gave you the opportunity to come back. But how did you express to him, how did you show to him that you're a different Jake Marchetto to the one that was there previously?
I pretty much had, I thought anyway, the biggest preseason I could have. I just come down and put everything on the line. And, you know, just run myself ragged when we ever had fitness in the contact. I'd go as hard as I could, you know, and I ended up getting the trip over to England.
Yeah.
And that was a big confidence boost for me. Then when we come back, you know, was unlucky to make the 17 the first couple of rounds, but I had to go back and play the cutters in the round two, and it went pretty well. Then the week after, he gave me the call up, and I've just taken it with both ends. So that's pretty much how it's happened.
That's almost reflective of the team right now, isn't it, Jake? You're taking these opportunities with both hands. Each and every player getting in that starting side is just playing their butt off, so to speak. When the rain hit yesterday, you're up 10-0. What did Mary say in that break? And was it tough to come back out and restart trying to protect that lead?
They called it off, and we sort of got in the sheds, and everyone was looking around going, what's going on? Because I've never seen anything like that before. And then we were in there, and Mary just sort of come in and just said, boys, just relax, you know, keep warm. We're going to be in here for about 10, 15 minutes or whatnot. So we sort of just had a moment to ourselves, and then when they said there's 5 minutes to go and explain we're going to warm up back on the field, we sort of started getting our heads back on and having a chat on what we wanted to do when we got back out there. But, it swung the momentum of the game, I thought, a little bit, just because we were up 10-0, and we had to come in, and they ended up scoring a try just before half time, so that hurt us a little bit, but credit to the boys and the team, we come back out and sort of, you know, got back on track and got the win.
A lot of our listeners will remember your old man, who of course played for Balmain in about the middle 80s, I think it was. How important has he been in helping shape your career, Jake?
Yeah, my old man's really helped me the last couple of years. You know, I had a bit of a tough patch when I got let go from down here, and you know, he sort of just said, mate, if you really want it, you gotta go get it. So I went up there and up to Redcliffe, and you know, worked myself back in to a bit of shape, and you know, kept in touch with the boys down at the Dragons, and you know, ended up talking to Mary, and he gave me a second shot. And ever since I've been back down, you know, I get a couple of calls a week just making sure I'm on track, and he gives me some advice. You know, I love my old man, and he's a champion for the way he's looked after me.
Yeah, it's certainly working, Jake. Jake, difficult question perhaps for you to answer. St George 0-2, as Jimmy said, you went into half time in round three, things have turned around. You're now 6-2 on top of the table. Suddenly there's a lot more focus on the white with a big red V. What is the level of expectation within the playing group and the coaching group about St George's chances in 2015?
Mate, I think the biggest thing I think I've noticed is we're just taking everything day to day. It's a bit of a cliche, but we just go out, we train on that day as hard as we can, come in, get away from footy, come back and do it the next day. And that's just the sort of mentality we've got. We've just got to keep building each day. And then when we get to the weekend, it just sort of, you know, how well we've trained during the week sort of comes out on the field. So that's the only thing I can really put it down to. We're not really thinking about anything else other than ourselves. So there's no real outside influence. It's just what we can do and what we can control.
What do you weigh, Jake?
Me, I'm 98 kilos.
98?
Yeah.
Hey, really? Yeah. You look a lot lighter than that. I reckon, anyway, you got to handle it in the middle there, and you're doing that. Yeah, so congratulations on that. Great to speak to you on a Sunday morning. I'm presuming you got a recovery session and then maybe a bit of time off. So we do appreciate your time, Jake.
No worries, boys. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks so much, Jake.
There he is, Jake Marchetto, who certainly making an impact second time around here at...
he's playing great, Jimmy.
...at the Dragons.
This one from Dungog Dragon, I think it sums it up. He said it time and time again, it does not matter what sport, anyone can attack, but not all can defend. And that's what St George are building the success on right now, Jimmy, is that defensive wall.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another one we've come in from Mark up there at Newcastle. Hey, Jimmy and Ray, Jimmy, you're at the game yesterday in Newcastle. Surely Rick Stone must show some kahunas and make some changes now. What changes would you make? Is Gidley's time up? Tyler Randell probably should come in for Roberts. Mark from Newcastle. Well, immediately, Sione Mataitia must be installed as fullback for the Newcastle Knights. Immediately. He came on and made a difference there yesterday, and then they put him to fullback. Look, it wasn't a happy game for Kirk Gidley, but he's the guy who came into the dressing, came into the press conference afterwards, put his hand up straight away and said, I had a bad game. He made a number of errors. I don't know where you play Kirk Gidley now. Maybe 14 is where you play Kirk Gidley. And the problem with that is he'd be first to training, he'd be the best trainer, he'd be the most diligent player in the squad.
And you want him in your 13.
And you want him there somewhere. Yeah. That is a really difficult... He's got some tough decisions coming up. Has Rick Stone on the back of four wins and then four straight losses. This guy just keeps going from win to win. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. G'day, Scotty.
Good morning, gentlemen. It'll be a big win if Kirk Gidley ended up at Wentworth, Bill, I could tell you.
Oh, there you go.
Settle down,
Scotty. Inside information, Scotty?
Settle down.
None yet, mate.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you set him up with the 2010 automatic Toyota Yaris four-door sedan, it might just clinch the deal, Scotty.
Mate, that might turn him away, but this is a great car for someone else. It's a little cracker. It's a 2010 automatic Yaris. YRS sport or sedan. It's only travelled 80,000 kilometres. It's got logbooks and service history, and it's one of the most economical yet safe and reliable small cars on the market. Fitted with air conditioning, power steering, ABS, brakes, airbags, power windows and remote central locking. So they are very easy to drive and probably the most popular small car on the market because they are so easy to maintain and they're one car that just won't let you down. So this is a 2010 automatic four-door Yaris and it's only $10,990 drive away today. So go to the website www.fosterskualitycars.com.au. Take a look or call now on 9637 5024, because these cars do sell very quickly and there's not that many of them around, so I'll be quick on that one.
And Scotty, for all those tradies out there listening, you've got just the perfect car for them.
Certainly do. Ray, this one's a 2005 automatic Toyota Hilux SR dual cab utility, the unbreakable Hilux. It's still the ute of choice for tradies, and this one is set up and ready for work. It's powered by the 4-litre six-cylinder engine and the 5-speed automatic transmission. So you not only have the power and reliability that Toyota delivers, but it's also got the added bonus of the ladder racks and tow bar for a no-fuss, let's get to work on Monday green light. So this one is the SR Hilux dual cab. It's automatic, it's ready for work, and it's a steal at $9,990 drive away today. So go to the website www.fosterskualitycars.com.au or call now on 9637 5024 and organise yourself a test drive today.
All right. Now, big day of footy down at Ringrose Park. Three games culminating in the New South Wales Cup game. And if you have a look at the players in this Wentworthville versus West Tigers game, that's the 3 o'clock kickoff. You've got Ryan Morgan, first grader, Adam Quinlan. Luke Kelly's played a lot of first grade. Tepo Moroa is playing in there. So you've got a strong side, Scotty.
We have, mate. We had a good strong side last week as well, but we're just falling short of the 80-minute mark. And today we're going to turn that around, though, and come away the points. We're playing the Tigers, and we just need a win badly, so I'm sure the boys will get out there and do that.
All right. Before you do go out to Ringrose Park, get onto the website, fosterskualitycars.com.au. And remember, for our regional listeners, if you get on there and you don't quite see the car that you want, Steve Foster and the team will track down the car you want anywhere throughout the state. So make sure you get on the website and check them out, fosterskualitycars.com.au. Scotty, you have a great day, mate.
You too, boys. All the best. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scotty.
There he is, Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Give him a call, 9637 5024.
Jimmy from The Factor. Interesting point this morning, boys. With the NRL ramping up negotiations re the new broadcasting deal, it is imperative that the NRL dictates the draw to include standalone weekends for Origin. It's an old chestnut, but it comes around every year, Jim.
Yeah, I reckon I've been saying that for about 4.5 years.
Yep.
Standalone weekends for Origins. Mm-hmm. It is a must. It extends the season by 1 week. 1 week.
Yeah, because of the buys.
Yeah, you don't have the buys. It extends the season by... What could you build around it? Mm-hmm. There's any number of properties you could build around it. And why, oh why, is there not a New Zealand State of Origin concept of some description that is not played every year on the same weekend?
North and South Island or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. And you know, I was speaking to Tony Iroh, who's an assistant over there in the New Zealand system, and he's been talking about those eligible for New Zealand that are born outside of New Zealand against those born inside of New Zealand. Whatever the system is, surely it's got to be a ratings winner, a juggernaut that is going to be additional revenue for the National Rugby League, for the New Zealand Rugby League, or whoever wants to get involved.
Friday evening or Sunday afternoon game?
Sunday night.
It'd be unbelievable.
State of Origin.
It'd
Sunday night, State of Origin. Yeah. Saturday night, the New Zealand game. Friday night,
fantastic.
Fiji versus Samoa. Tonga versus PNG. There's any number of properties.
The build-up would be extraordinary.
Any number of properties. Didn't put his name on any of these, but he sent in a few. I believe the Matildas will give the coming World Cup a bit of a shake.
Mm.
And then also said, who will finish second? The Wellington Phoenix or Sydney FC? Big game today.
Boys in blue.
For the boys in
Sydney
blue,
FC, yeah. They're travelling to Wellington, but as Andy Pascalini said earlier, Sydney FC unbeaten on the road this year, Jimmy. So let's hope they can do it one more time, clinch second spot going into the finals.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting too. The Australian side named today, half time of that game, the Rabbitohs versus the Raiders up there at Cairns. And of course, we'll have New South Wales Country and New South Wales City Origin sides as well. Raymond, you got some tips for today?
Quick tip. Penrith at home.
Righto. I'll go for the Sharks then.
And South.
Yeah, I think South will win. I tell you what, I don't mind Canberra at the line.
Yep.
The plus 10.5. Yeah, they are. No Adam Reynolds.
And that's been the key to South's slide, hasn't it?
And they've come right back to
His return.
What's that? What? And disappointing, because I agree with you. Mm. They have struggled in the absence of Adam Reynolds. Right now on Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Racing Retro. Kieran Maher will be on the program after the win of Sri Kandy yesterday with Ron Duffersey, Richard Freeman and Brent Zarafa. BZ was in here this morning bringing you all your Sunday morning racing news and reviews. And right now, let's join our host, Matthew Browning.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Racing Retro on this Sunday morning. After a pretty eventful day of racing across Australia yesterday, Royal Randwick, the wild weather, returned to Sydney after what's been a terrible week, but it came back yesterday afternoon late in the day, forcing the abandonment of the last race on the program. Thankfully, conditions were quite a bit better up on the Gold Coast. The Queensland Winter Carnival's pretty much officially underway now with a great day yesterday. The Prime Minister's Cup and Hollandale Stakes among the features. And it was great to see the racing industry right across Australia paying tribute to the Anzacs yesterday with some excellent commemorations that I saw on TV across the tracks. Well done to the racing industry, but even more so, well done to the Anzacs, to all of the ex-servicemen and women that are watching this morning. Thank you for your service. Ron Duffersey is here. He was at Randwick yesterday, survived the wild weather. Welcome to you, Ron.
Yeah, I just survived the weather at Randwick yesterday, Matt. There was the last race was never going to be run. It was just horrendous, the weather that come in. We had hail, we had an inch of rain in, half an hour, more than an inch of rain. It was flooded. You had to swim out of the place. And look, we were lucky to get seven races away, and unfortunately we couldn't run the last. But look, it was a good day's racing, and obviously, the Gold Coast held centre stage, and what a bonny mare she is, Sri Kandy.
Oh, she's great. We're going to have a chat with her trainer in just a moment. Richard Freeman is here. His brothers had a nice winner at Flemington yesterday too. They won the VRC St Ledger. Well done to the boys, and good morning to you, Richard.
Yeah, I'll pass that on. Thank you, Matt and Ron and Brent. Look, I think the track's raced. It was tricky in Melbourne because of the way the track was racing, but it was also affected by pace. Not so much in Sydney, but in Queensland, I think it takes a certain type of horse to run well at the Gold Coast. I think it suits a certain type of horse, horses that can take up a position. If you get back at the Gold Coast, it does make it tough. And I think you'll see plenty of horses there that ran very well and will run better at the bigger tracks.
Okay, we're going to see a lot of Doomben, of course, over the next few weeks. Brent Zarafa was there at the Gold Coast yesterday, but we've got him back in the Racing Retro studio for the first time this morning. Welcome, Brent.
It's good to be here, boys. I feel like a 3-kilo claiming apprentice that's had my time at the provincials and the country, and I finally get an opportunity.
Don't worry, you can still ride on the highway.
it's good to be here. Good day of racing at the Gold Coast yesterday, and Sri Kandy, she was fantastic, and also good to see Labaz bound back with the blinkers on, one of your favourites there, Ronnie.
Mm. All right, viewers, we'd certainly like to hear from you as always. If you have a comment on yesterday's racing, you can follow us on Twitter at Racing Retro. We're on Facebook. The Sky Racing Retro Facebook page is facebook.com/racingretro, and of course through our website skyracing.tv/feedback. All right, let's get to the Gold Coast. That was the feature meeting around Australia yesterday, and we might start with the Victory Stakes. The favourite was Sri Kandy. She's a nice mare. She started at 370.
There's the light, ready to go in the Victory Stakes. Off and racing now, Sri Kandy near the inside, bounded out of the gates, and Rocket to Glory began quickly, and so did Bull of Muscle. They're the first three as they go to the first corner, and they've raced away by 3 to Temple of Boom, settling down fourth outside, Dances on Stars. Then River Lad, Noid Dart on the fence, been passed by Hidden Warrior, going around them wide. Then Elmer's Fury and Speediness is 2.5 off at the rear. Rocket to Glory led at the 700 metres mark, 3 to Bull of Muscle, and 2.5 Sri Kandy. A length away, Hidden Warrior, followed by Temple of Boom, and then Dances on Stars on the rail. River Lad out a little bit deep, in trail by Noi Dart, and they're followed by Elmer's Fury, and Speediness is last. They're on the swing, 500 to go, Rocket to Glory, two in front. Here's Bull of Muscle first, and now Sri Kandy. They're cutting loose after Rocket to Glory. Noi Dart's trying to get to the outsides from Dances on Stars, 300 to go. Rocket to Glory, Bull of Muscle, Sri Kandy on the outside. Dances on Stars going for the run near the fence. It's Bull of Muscle and Sri Kandy. They've come away at the 100 metre mark with Srikandi outside, Ball of Muscle. Srikandi and Ball of Muscle. They're coming to the line. Srikandi, the mare, she's back. Srikandi beat Ball of Muscle. Tied for third, Dances on Stars or Noidard.
Srikandi, she likes a trip to Queensland for the winter. She won the Silk Stocking last year, plus a few good races in Brisbane, and then went on to run third in the Stradbroke. She's trained by Kieran Maher, who's joining us. He had a great day yesterday with that feature winner at the Coast and a few at Flemington too. Good morning to you, Kieran. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, thank you.
How does she compare to 12 months ago? I mentioned she went to Brisbane last year and had a great carnival up there. How does she compare in terms of how she's going at the moment?
Well, she's a more furnished, you know, she was big and strong filly last year, but now she's just a more furnished, bigger version of last year, I suppose. Yeah, you know, she's physically a stronger horse, yeah.
Kieran, going into the race, I heard a few interviews with you and you thought, you know, maybe she's 80% or 85% right. Did she surprise you how easily she won that race?
Looking at her yesterday, you know, like I hadn't seen her since she left Thursday a week ago, and looking at her, you know, just with the travelling up, you know, it always trims them up a little bit, and I knew we had a pretty good foundation, but she was still pretty big when she left. But looking at her in the mounting yard, I was just wrapped with her, you know, the way she travelled, and she just tightened that fraction. And, you know, I was really happy with her on the day going into her first run. I don't think we would have wanted her much tighter.
Last September, you gave her a trial after that very, very good winter campaign last year. What happened? How did she pull up out of that trial that told you, I don't want to go on with her this spring, I'm just going to put her aside and give her more time?
Well, she actually had three sort of little jump-out trials, and the first one was really good. We didn't ask anything of her. The second one, she pulled up with a lot of mucus in her throat, and didn't trial as well as what I expected, and, you know, deservedly so. So we treated her for that, and so I give her another trial, and she trialed well. It was reasonable time, but she was only okay. You know, she wasn't flying, and we were going into, you know, I think the races we had programmed were all Group 1 races, so there was nowhere to hide with her. And I said to the connections, and it was, you know, full credit to them, I can take it to the races, but, you know, we're not going to win. And, you know, they were happy to let me spell her. And we had a few discussions with where to take her, and then because she likes this time of year so much and that way of going, and the, you know, she's on speed, and some of the tighter, smaller tracks up north just really suit her. So,
Kieran, you mentioned about her liking the right-handed racing. Was there any temptation to come to Sydney for the big money during the autumn carnival, or were you happy to basically put all your eggs in one basket and go to Brisbane?
Yeah, just basically happy to go to Brisbane and target these races. You know, she knew she had a preparation with the end of her winter carnival last year. You know, I didn't run her in the Tiara. We had her nom, but I thought she definitely had enough then. And you know, just the good spell and seeing as she liked it so much up there last year, and the tracks, the conditions, the whatever, you know, she just enjoyed the whole lot. We just thought we'd really target this and try and give her the best possible chance to win a Group 1 race.
So what is her program in Queensland? What races have you singled out for her?
She goes to the BTC Cup, the 10,000, the Stradbroke, and maybe the Tiara.
And Kieran, given that she probably has improvement out of the run there, and she'd been off the back of a long break, is it fair to say that perhaps her next run is her biggest test for this preparation?
Yeah, if you would say, you know, like I'm not a big subscriber to the second up sort of thing, but you know, if she had a real gut buster yesterday, or, you know, if the conditions were really wet and she, you know, she really had to slog it out, I would say yes. But you know, she pulled up really good and just come up a little bit over the back, and I think it'll really just bring her on. You know, I don't think she will. Sometimes the horses can be flat, but you know, she had a really good foundation going into it, and I think she'll only come on from it.
Kieran, your stable's been built up recently at Caulfield. You've moved into the old boxes that were accompanied by Rick Hall Lacey. How are you enjoying life with the new base at Caulfield?
Yeah, loving it. We've just, like you said, we've taken over Rick Hall Lacey's. It's, you know, it's a great stable. It's in a really good location. There's actually a house where on top of the stables that looks over the track, so really good for owners and connections to come and have a look at their horses' work. And we've still got I've still got a few horses in Aquanita, which is also a great facility where I've been since I've come into Caulfield a few years ago.
How does that work with your jumpers, you know, training in the city now? Do you still get an opportunity to train them the way you like?
Yeah, Caulfield's great, actually. There's a there's a hurdle shoot, a steeple shoot, and the A sand is quite good. I use the treadmills a lot for the jumpers, and Bash Boys, I've trained him at Caulfield for the last 3 years, and he's come up super. I've been wrapped with him, so yeah, it's a great place to train any sort of horse, I think.
Well, stay with us, Kieran. Let's have one more look at Srikandi's race there, and just a few of the others there. Ron Ball of Muscle, he handled himself well in that sort of class.
Well, first time in the big league, and I thought he performed really, really good, because it was a top class mare that ran him down, who got a perfect ride look from Brown from a beautiful barrier, I know, but he just angled her into the right part of the track at the right time, and she nabbed him. So there's nothing wrong with Ball of Muscle's performance here, and look, Dances on Stars, the last 4 years I think he's been placed in this race, and Noi Dart did his thing running on there. You know, what can you say? It was all honours with the winner. She looks to have more upside, and doesn't she look big and strong there?
I think it's important in those good races at the Gold Coast that you can jump and take up a position, and she did, and that just sets you up to get an easier run than some of those horses that are getting back and trying to circle. It's a harder place to do that. Horses did make ground. A lot of them did make ground on the inside, where it was a little easier for them to get into the race on the corner. So, I think there'll be horses come out of that, certainly on the bigger tracks, who will find it easier.
What a super sire this Dubawi is. Mm. He had first and second across the line there. I think when those two horses, Srikandi and Ball of Muscle, were conceived, I think he was 16,500 standing. Now he's 200,000 standing overseas. Mm. So
if you can get in.
If you can get in. He's a super sire.
He's very popular. All right, on the big race there at the coast yesterday, Srikandi was the winner, but let's hear from some of the riders that finished back in the field.
Hugh Bowman, big run from Noi Dart.
Yeah, he ran really well, Brent. I think he's just looking for that little bit further now at this level, but he's on track.
Damien Oliver, River Lad.
Yeah, he just got a bit of interference early, and this track's probably a bit tight for him too.
Brenton Avdullah, Dances on Stars.
Went super. Look, he was sort of midfield, did no work, but he found the line really well.
Jim Cassidy, Hidden Warrior.
Yeah, look, I travelled in the run, but probably raced a little bit of racing in and out, and just didn't really let down the ground.
Blake Shin, Ball of Muscle, big effort.
Yeah, it was a sensational run by him. I was running at a very fast pace, which, you know, the winner just had to drop on me and I had to card it up. But full credit to my horse, he tried very hard right to the line.
Steve Arnold, speeding us.
Yeah, he just stumbled out the barriers, which put us right out the back, and too hard to chase them down.
Tegan Harrison, Temple of Boom.
Yeah, he was good. He's come into this race today different to last year. He had that preparation in Sydney and then went into the Victory Stakes. So he probably needed the run today first up, but he ran well.
Okay, that's the wash-up on the Victory Stakes, previously known as the Suburban Heart Stakes for many years there in Brisbane. Kieran, just before you go, those Flemington winners yesterday, you had that double Chiquata and also Dubio. What are your plans with those horses?
Chiquata will just continue on through, you know, these mares type of races. She's shown that she's a pretty good wet tracker, and we haven't been able to get her on, you know, many surfaces like yesterday, but... Yeah, she'll just continue through. Dubio, he may, you know, yesterday was a real sort of, key race for him. You know, we just wanted to see how he'd go, and he might head north also.
All right, well done on yesterday, and have a great carnival up there, a great winter carnival.
Thanks very much.
Thanks to Kieran Maher, the trainer of Sri Kandy, joining us there. Richard, he's a very good trainer. Of course, he won the Oaks last year in Melbourne with Set Square, and he's had a heap of other good winners in the last 6 months.
I was having a chat with Lee on the phone about, you know, different things, and the trainers came up, and Lee's got a good rap on Kieran. Says he's got a bit of a gift, and so that's a big rap.
Trainers wrapping other trainers.
Well, not to everybody, just to me.
All right, more from the Gold Coast coming up. I think we might move on to the Hollandale Stakes over 1,800 metres. It was a wide-open betting race. Silent Achiever was the favourite for this one at $6.
Deep as they go by the 1,200. Two lengths away, Arabian Gold. On the inside of Silent Achiever, who's got over one off the fence. Sir Moments is next on the inside of Moriarty. 2.5 to I'm Imposing on the outside of Fortella, followed by Precedence and Hawk. Hawksburra's last. 900 to go. Coming down the side and hooked the leader by one. Labaz still has him in his sights. 2.5 to Rudy. Aomen fourth on the fence, followed by Green Moon. Arabian Gold is next. Escardo on the fence. Silent Achiever clicked up. Some Moments trying to improve in the middle. Then Moriarty, Ford Teller, I'm Imposing, Precedence and Hawksburra. They're inside the 600 coming to the home turn. Hooked on the inside and Labaz there. Two in front of Aomen. Rudy's under pressure. Arabian Gold taking the shortcuts, followed by Green Moon. Moriarty and Silent Achiever coming to the outside, and then some Moments, but in the straight, and Labaz has gone to the lead with 300 metres to go. He got away from Hooked Arabian Gold near the inside. Aomen running home, and some Moments is now called upon. Labaz led inside the 200 metres mark. Some Moments on the outside is coming after Labaz. Labaz a length in front. Some Moments trying to pick him up. Labaz and some Moments, they hit the line. Labaz has just beaten some Moments in a close one. I'm Imposing third in front of either Precedence or Fortella.
The thing with him is that he's, you know, he's just been a little bit unlucky. He's been running in such good races, but obviously with the blinkers on, he didn't actually see the horse on his outside for a bit, I think. So, you know, it was a really, you know, dogged effort.
Lee Baz, look, he's a horse that's always promised a lot. He was first emergency for that race yesterday, but luckily for Team Hawks, he got a start. Ron, blinkers on is a Beale horse. They say that's a great recipe for really switching them on.
You shouldn't be able to buy as a Beale without a set of blinkers coming with it.
They should come in the sale yard.
Oh, we should pay enough for him. I'm sure they're going to throw a set of blinkers in.
Look, he's a good horse. He is a good horse, and the blinkers did switch him on. He's been a little bit off the boil, and the punters have been a bit wary of him, you know, cashing in on, they've been doing their cash on him a few times in Sydney, but his runs haven't been too bad. He's just a tricky horse. He seems very one-paced and grinding. You don't know whether he's a horse that you let run or you've got to find him in a fast-run race, but look, he just kept going yesterday. I thought it was a pretty good win, and it sets himself up, you know, maybe for another Doomben Cup, where she was placed in last year. I thought some Moments was good. All honours with the winner. I think I'm Imposing seems to be on track. He's been targeted at this carnival for a while now, and even old Precedence ran a good race there. He seems to thrive in Queensland. So, but look, all honours with the winner as far as the way I look at the race.
I thought that he was, you know, they might have to try something different with him, like ride him differently. Well, the Gold Coast is not a place to ride him differently to the way he's been racing. But what they did do is they put that set of blinkers on. Now, provided they keep working on him, and they don't always continue to work. You know, sometimes they'll have an effect and the effect will drop off. But if they continue to work on him in the right races where he can do this, he's going to be always competitive. Anything that runs on from the back in these races, I think you can put a little bit of a mark next to, because it really wasn't the day or the place to be running on from the back.
Disappointing run from Silent Achiever on face value, but I spoke with Roger James this morning, and she's had a bout of colic overnight, and he's basically been up with the mare all night. He said she's come good this morning, but puts a question mark on the rest of her Brisbane Winter Carnival, whether she presses on. He said he'll just have to monitor her for the next couple of days. So that may have been some reason why she performed a little bit below her best yesterday, but certainly not good news there for Solon.
Arabian Gold was a little bit disappointing.
Well, the comment from Damien Oliver, and we'll obviously hear from in the Beaten Jockeys, was the firmness of the track. She's probably just looking for a little bit of sting out of, she just didn't really let go in that ground. But that's generally been her form pattern. When she finds wet ground, she definitely shows her best.
Okay, well, let's hear from some of those jockeys out of the Hollandale Stakes.
Ty Anglin, I'm Imposing, big performance.
Yeah, it was. Got back, made up a lot of ground on the right part of the track, but from where he come from, it was a really good effort. So moving forward, very happy.
Hugh Bowman, Hooked.
Yeah, look, he had the... I was where I wanted to be. He'd race a run to suit me, but I thought he was a bit disappointing, to be honest.
Jim Cassidy, Hawkspur.
Yeah, look, he missed the start and really took no part in the race. He's... didn't want to know about it.
Glenn Boss, Aoman.
Yeah, he's probably come to the end of his prep. He'll go to the paddock now. Ran well.
Leith Innes, Moriarty.
Yeah, had to make a sort of long run from the 700. Solomon Achiever sort of didn't take us as a race, but yeah, he just plugged after that.
Damien Oliver, Arabian Gold.
Yeah, she had a nice run, but she just didn't kick as strongly as I know she can today, so a little bit below her best.
Chad Schofield, Green Moon.
I thought his run was very good. Still look, obviously looking for further. Felt he was just at his top the entire race. But I thought his last 400 metres was sound, and over the further trip over next start, I think he'll be competitive.
Glenn Collis, big run from precedence.
Yeah, he went terrific, didn't he? Just switched off at the back and made good ground up the inside. Got held up at the 200, probably should have finished a little bit closer.
Okay, that's the Hollandale. Lee Baz off to the Durnbin Cup, ran second to that that lovely mare Streamer 12 months ago. Prime Minister's Cup is coming up next. Bit of a sad race. The Peak was the favourite for this one at $4.
900 metres mark, they run final crescendo and War Ends led together. Two to Neo getting a lovely run in third. Two to Perfect Punch inside Grayson Square. Now the Peak is trapped three deep. Ninth Legions four deep as they go by the 700. Jet Set Lad getting a good run on the fence and they're followed by Jopa, Epic, Caradari and then Bodega Negra followed by Gundy Spirit and Billy Orr Cash is last. 500 to go approaching the turn. Final crescendo and War Ends, they led together. Neo is peeling out three deep. The Peak is four out as they come around the bend. Jet Set Lad staying to the inside and Ninth Legion next and Gundy Spirit's going to try and sweep down the middle. Neo went to the front, 300 metres to go. The Peak and Ninth Legion coming after Neo followed by Gundy Spirit. Neo led up the 200 metres mark. Oh, the Peak's broken down. Ninth Legion, Epic and Gundy Spirit down the outside, but it's Neo the leader and it's Neo in front close to home. He'll win the Prime Minister's from Ninth Legion. Gundy Spirit might be third.
He's done a great job. He's had some bad gates and everything like that. So today we finally got a good gate and up to the 1400 I think suits him. And yeah, Jimmy was able to give him a great run and yeah, he's done the job. We've got him nominated in the Stradbroke, so that's not off the cards now. So we'll have another look and chat to Glenn and Lisa Morton and see where we go from here.
All right, Neo, he's a former Kiwi. As a three-year-old, he won a Wellington Guineas. As we've seen, he's now with Stuart Kendrick. We'll come back to Neo in just a moment. The Peak, Brent, I believe that the vets there at the Gold Coast did everything they could to try and save the horse.
Yeah, that was the feeling immediately after the race, and the connections had given the indication that they were prepared to put in the rehabilitation if possible. But further diagnosis later on in the afternoon was just that the horse could not be saved and unfortunately was euthanized late yesterday afternoon. So a sad situation there for the Peak. He'd been a good horse for connections. Barton James Cummings, he'd won a listed race just recently at the Sunshine Coast and been racing quite well. So it was a very... unfortunate incident there at the Gold Coast.
Much lower incidence of horses breaking down behind in races than in front, so it was a reasonably unusual.
I think you have to praise the horsemanship there of Damien Brown, because the situation of the race, where it was, it could have been a catastrophe if he'd gone down and shifted off his line, but he managed to keep the horse straight and out of harm's way from everyone else, which certainly could have been worse than what it was.
Okay, the Think Big Stud, they must be devastated, but look, I'm sure they made the right decision with the horse's best interests at heart. Very sad. What about the winner, Ron Neo? Yeah. This former three-year-old, he was pretty handy when he was over there.
Yeah, he was. And look, that was a good win. Jimmy Byrne had a good day yesterday. He rode a couple of really nice winners, and he rode this horse beautifully yesterday. I thought, look, he could be a sleeper. I don't know how strong this race was. Ninth Legion, well, he's a pretty competitive horse. He was wide, no cover the whole way. Big run.
Ninth Legion
was the best run in the race.
Yeah, and he batted on with great heart, didn't he?
Yeah, look, you could make a case to say that he probably should have won the race. Look, can't really say much about the others. Gundy Spirit was good. He's been in good form of late. Prime Minister's Cup Day, I don't know, I think we've just got to let this go, surely. You know, this race, it's not Prime Minister's Cup Day anymore.
I think it's been a long time since a Prime Minister went to Prime Minister's Cup Day.
Well, 1985 or something, wasn't it?
Two have been.
Sir Joe. He's the Prime Minister, wasn't he?
The
Hollandale Stakes is the Group 2 weight for age race on the day. Like, it's the best race.
It has to be. They've got to let it go.
Okay, well, they had the right conditions for it yesterday, and that winner, Neo, of course, off to the Stradbroke at Doomben. That's going to take a little bit of getting used to this year, but, of course, with Eagle Farm out of action, the Straddy this year will be at Doomben. Time for a short break. We'll come back with more from the coast in a moment.
Coming up, we stay at the Gold Coast for more feature racing as the stayers begin their journey to the Brisbane Cup.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming which is simulcast from Sky Racing 1 on Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the Programs tab.
Why settle for one great offer when you can have two? At the Hyundai Double Up event. For a strictly limited time, get the award-winning i30 hatch from just $19,990 drive away, plus a $1,000 FBOS card. Or the sleek 2014 Elantra sedan, also from $19,990 drive away, plus a $1,000 FBOS card. But hurry, this offer ends Thursday, so get in on the double.
Dad, can I borrow your...
Oh, my.
Hi, Benny.
Mm-hmm. Last week, I bought headphones online with Visa Checkout. Not having to fill out payment and shipping info was like getting some time back. Time which I will now use to go back and not open this door.
Dinner at 6:30.
Visa Checkout. Log in. Checkout. Save time. Use that time anywhere you like. Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do.
Hey, time for me to get a real job. It doesn't get more real than this. You can go your own way.
For the latest offer from the tab. This NBA playoffs back either team at the line and you will get $1.95 lines on all matches. That's right, $1.95 lines for every NBA playoff match.
Ready? And they're racing now, and Regatta Rebel was the first to ping out of the gates. Red Sun and Big Tree both began quickly. They'll take up prominent positions. The Wildman's not far away, followed by Blueberry Hill and Like a Ruler. Military Miss Deep going to the first quarter, followed by Montana Star. Then Look at the Stars, Vellucci. One More Magic getting back. Den Purr second last near the fence. Madotti is last. They're by the 800 metres mark, and Big Tree the leader, and that Regatta Rebel on the outside. Red Sun looks to be out three deep as they go down the side. Military Miss out four wide. The Wildman's in between runners. Like a Ruler's back on the fence, followed by Blueberry Hill. Vellucci next. Montana Star, followed by Look at the Stars. Den Purr back near the inside from One More Magic, and Madotti is last. On the swing, 400 metres to go. Big Tree is the leader, tackled by Regatta Rebel. Red Sun is next on the outside from Like a Ruler, Military Miss, and Blueberry Hill. Regatta Rebel and Big Tree led to the 200 metres mark. Look at the Stars going up near the fence. Blueberry Hill and Red Sun. Madotti's coming down the outside. Big Tree is still the leader. Madotti is starting to sweep home. Regatta Rebel still there, but it's Big Tree in front, and Big Tree. Big Tree's beaten Blueberry Hill, Regatta Rebel, or Look at the Stars from the Wildman, Madotti, Vellucci.
Oh, yeah, we bred the horse, so it makes it more like one of your kids, you know, so really excited. And Michael Cole's right, you got on him the other day, he said he really liked his trials, so that's always makes you buoyant.
Good to see Peter Balton looking so well there. He was badly injured in a stable accident last year. He had a broken leg, broken pelvis. Richard, the winner, Big Tree, 60-1, a colt by Snitzel. That was only his second start in a race. Obviously, he didn't do a great deal on debut to be 60-1.
Well, he showed pace on his debut. He was right up there on top of the pace, and he just got tired and knocked up. So but it's very hard to read how good those horses are if they just... they're just, you know, knocking up like that. Are they just ordinary horses, or did they genuinely get tired? So Peter obviously knew, because he was smart enough to run it in the good race, jump straight to onto the bunny from the inside gate there, and proved very hard to peg back, as was the pattern during the day. So I just think it was a lovely piece of placement. Now, he owns the mare that the horse is out of, and he's bred that horse, so it's a big deal for Peter Bowson, who's a really good
conditioner of horses. He's not the most fashionable trainer, but that's certainly not an indication of his skill.
He's had a rough trot lately, yeah. So nice to see him win a feature race. What did you think of the Ken Russell, Ron?
Yeah, look, I don't know how it fits in as far as the bigger two-year-old race is concerned. It's easy to make a case for a horse after a race. He looked big odds. He looks a big, strong, good-looking horse. He showed
Schnitzel?
Yeah, he looks well-bred, and he's trained on the track. Easy to make a case for him now. I thought it was a good fighting win. I thought he was a little bit unlucky, looked to the stars. He just got held up in an awkward spot on the worst part of the track, and I thought he finished off okay. Thought the favourite was disappointing, Regatta Rebel. I want to have another look at her before making an assessment. So a race I'm nor here nor there with.
I think when you see Madotti and Blueberry Hill get onto bigger tracks where they can relax a bit more, they'll certainly run well again. They ran well, and even Vellucci ran on a bit like that. No, I think those horses have got a bit of improvement coming out of them.
Blake Shin was of the opinion that Regatta Rebel, the favourite in that race, was quite disappointing. He said he was in the lovely spot outside the leader, which was the eventual winner, but just wasn't able to really stretch out like he was expecting. Of the other horses, that was probably a touch unlucky. Denpur drew a little bit wide there for Peter and Paul Snowden. Karen McAvoy said, copped a little bit of a check after the start, had to go back to the inside, which hard up against the rail was probably inferior ground. When it got to the looking to get to the better part, probably four or five off the fence, wasn't able to and come back to the inside. So maybe a forgive run there on Denpur.
Well, some good two-year-old racing coming up in Brisbane over the next few weeks. The Sires, of course, and the JJ Atkins, which is the big Group 1 race up there. Let's go to the Chairman's Handicap, 2,200 metres, an important lead up towards the Brisbane Cup in a few weeks' time. Index Linked was the favourite for this one at 370.
Perplexity racing up on the outside to join it as they go round the top corner. Abdullah will take a trail now, and Tremec in behind those two pacemakers, and Volkia is next on the inside of a Pingle. So John Hawkwood, he's pulled out three deep, starting to go forward from Oriental Lady, and Index Link on the fences last of all. High Sun led with 700 metres to go. Three parts Perplexity, Tremex niggled along in third, Volkia's inside him, then Sir John Hawkwood, and then comes a Pingle. Now Index Link, he's patiently ridden, he's on the fence, he's going great guns. If he gets a run, he'll be in the finish in a minute, and Oriental Lady next as they come around the home turn. 400 metres left to go. High Sun is the leader. Heads up for home. Boss cut the corner on Index Link. He's about to drive through on the inside. A Pingle next. And Sir John Hawkwood down the outside to the 200. And Index Link went to High Sun. E. Pingle on the outside is running home well. E. Pingle and Index Link there together with 100 metres left to go. E. Pingle on the outside. It's taking a narrow lead. He's too good a Pingle. A Pingle one at a neck. Index Link second. Volkia third.
Yeah, I couldn't believe what a dodge she was. You know, I thought she'd be second favourite in that race, but she's good. She's hasn't raced for a few weeks, but she's been working really well at home, and just this sort of dropping grade and that tough on the trip sort of really suits her.
Hey Pingle, I believe this is her last preparation. She's heading off to stud late this year. That was her first run, Richard, in 6 weeks. So good training performance. No surprise really though from Mick Kent, who's a great conditioner.
Yeah, very good trainer, and she did run second in the Zipping Classic behind Orawa. So the quality was there at those distances. Funny run race that. They walked out of the gates and she lobbed in a really good spot up on the pace. And then a couple of changes came through. Tremec took off mid race and put a bit more speed in it, and by about the 600 metre mark, Pingle was getting shuffled back, and she was nearly last turning, but only a couple of lengths off the leader. So they all packed up on the corner, and she got the lovely run up behind High Sun, who led into the straight, and it was she was just there at the right time. She out-sprinted a couple of these. It's hard to make many excuses for anything else. Index Linked, he raced at the back, wasn't the place to be, but got into the race pretty early, you know, got quite easily up on the fence, and it was hard to find an excuse for anything. I thought Pingle was probably, you know, the winning run, best run of the race.
Yeah, he's a freak at getting these horses fit, Mick Kent, isn't he? He can have a gap between runs and be second up at 2,200, and they're just so hard fit. Now look, she was too good on the day. I think barrier one beat the second horse. I couldn't really say much about the others. The John Hawkwood wants it heavy, and Tremec, well, he had that incident at the start. Obviously the rules have changed with these horses at the start.
Yeah, Tremec.
All they just said was red at the start and lost ground in the stewards report. Look, to my eye, the bloke still got hold of it. In the old days, that's a scratcher.
I don't think he did, actually. You know what, I think he was just trying to hold the horse
Really? Stop the horse from diving into the gate next door and hold it off himself when it came back his way. I don't know that he was holding the horse back.
I've got no issue with it, because obviously the rules have changed from the old days, where if you went up and someone had hold of you, and I'm convinced the bloke had hold of it for safety reasons.
Yeah, but I don't think he hindered it. That's my point.
Yeah.
Well, he was declared a definite starter, Brett.
Yeah, and Brett Abdullah basically just said that was the undoing of the horse Tremec, because in his previous win in Sydney, he was able to bowl along in front, and that had really turned around his form. That's what he was hoping to be able to do there yesterday and have a nice front-running ride. But out of that event, some horses maybe continue to head towards the Brisbane Cup, but I think the form out of the Hollandale into the Doomben Cup will be the stronger foot.
Just on that horse rearing like that, the horse himself reared. The attendant didn't make the horse rear.
I've got no issue with it.
Okay.
I've got no issue.
All right.
We agree then.
Brisbane Cup. That is a first. Brisbane Cup at Doomben this year on June 6th. Now, Gold Coast Guineas is coming up next, and this was a pretty open betting race too. The favourite for this one was Traveston Girl at $5.
The first corner they go, Executed and Hooker Regal, and Time for War three deep outside the speed. Pinch River fourth, Amazé getting a nice run fifth in the middle, followed by Nostradamus, Traveston Girl wide, Mr. Char-Char's back on the fence, and they're followed by Bearskin, Bojet, further back Feels Like Home, Better Than Blue next over to the inside, followed by Rising Luck and Amy, Lara Builds a long way back, and Seashells is last of all. On the corner they come, 4:50 to go, Executed first around the corner, Time for War outside him, Hooker Blue going through near the inside as they come in the straight, and with 300 metres to go, Time for War led, Hooker Regal Executed, Amazade, Nostradamus trying to get through from Pinch River, Traveston Girl down the outside, Nostradamus has burst through underneath Time of War, Nostradamus ran to the lead from Time of War, Traveston Girl late, but it is Nostradamus beat Time of War, Traveston Girl.
Kind of a bit of D-Day today for him. A lot of speed on, and we thought we'd just bring him up here and have a crack at the race. He's always had the ability, we've thought that, but obviously just maybe between his legs might have been thinking a little bit, but he's got a reprieve, I think. But, you know, look, he's done a great job. I'll give Huey credit. He gave him a gun ride. He just waited, and, you know, the split came and he went bang.
All right, Nostradamus there. Look, another horse that's always promised a lot, hasn't really delivered until yesterday, and as we heard there, they were actually thinking about gelding him. But that might be on hold now that he's found his form.
Well, I think he was the right sort of horse for the Gold Coast too. He jumped, got himself in a good spot, was able to just sit there, and Hugh was able to just wait until he thought he had just enough time left to get to the front, because if he is a thinker, you don't want him hitting the front too early. And well, you know, it worked out for him. Dry track helps him. Once again, horses coming from the back like Traveston Girl and Better Not Blue were always going to find it difficult, and will find it easier on bigger tracks.
The key with the winner was the dry track. He's just been a bit off the boil on wet tracks. He finds a dry track and a brilliant ride yesterday, and that was the difference. He's a talented horse. I thought Time for War was excellent first up with a big weight. This is a filly I want to follow here, Traveston Girl. She's first up here. I think she'll get better with racing, and it's just simple. Better Not Blue should have won the race. Just simple. Should have won.
Were you one of the Peters that got the 100-1 run there, right?
I got 26. I'm still crying. Look.
Well, where was the error made?
The error was made when the horse come back in his lap at the 500. And he lost all momentum. So when Mr. Charles...
So circumstance, not error.
Yeah, look. I'll say circumstances, and then run into a dead end from the 500 to the 100. So there was plenty of excuses for Better Not Blue, who's a... he won't be forgotten next time in the market.
Well, the winner Nostradamus will be staying in Queensland for another run, potentially. Team Hawks suggesting this morning that Labaz will stay up there, obviously, for the Doomben Cup, and Nostradamus will stay there. Our boy Malachi is going to head up in the next couple of weeks for the BTC Cup. So they're going to have a strong winter carnival team with their small and select stable.
Excellent. All right, let's finalise the Gold Coast as we take a short break on Racing Retro with some of the other good races on the card.
In the first on the Gold Coast card, punters rallied behind the John Zilkey-trained Worthy Cause, which started equal favourite with Peter Moody's inauguration. But the latter was posted wide throughout, while Worthy Cause got a nice run one off the fence,
and the Schwazier colt not only handled the jump up from the 1,350 metres, but showcased a brilliant turn of foot.
Worthy Cause running home. They go to the 200 metres mark, and up them on the outside, and Norman went through on the fence, and here's Worthy Cause finishing strongly. Worthy Cause on the outside raced up. Oh, he's put them away, Worthy Cause. He hurtled to the lead and draws away. Worthy Cause from home to beat. Up them second. Chilling with Dylan will get up the run third.
Favourite backers again have cause for celebration in the Gold Coast bracelet. Former New Zealander Bohemian Lily eyeballed the speedy She Is What She Is for most of the trip, and the Gaywater House trained filly was able to fight on tenaciously in the straight, holding off a late charge from Colin Lill.
They're 2.5 to Glorious Red. Colin Lill is next, running home down the outside to the 200 metres mark. Bohemian Lily and She Is What She Is. Colin Lill on the outside, running home well with Glorious Red. Bohemian Lily hits the lead. Colin Lill trying to go to Bohemian Lily, can't get there. Bohemian Lily, one at a long neck to Colin Lill. Not sure about third, She Is What She Is or Glorious Red.
The aptly named I've Got the Looks was the first horse out of the gates in the listed race for fillies and mares. Glenn Voss gave the Snowden-trained five-year-old a rails-hugging ride to bring up a Gold Coast double for Stallion Schwazier. Equally impressive was Estonian Princess, which ran home well first up for new trainer Gerald Ryan.
Shovel of Spiritu and Estonian Princess running on. I've Got the Looks hit the lead from Sarah Sara. Estonian Princess and Love Shuttle next, but I've Got the Looks bounded away with 100 metres left to go. It's home. I've Got the Looks raced away and won easily. Estonian Princess, Flash Dame ran second, Sarah Sara third.
Up next, the panel reviews the time-honoured BRC St Ledger, plus we wrap up other racing from around the nation.
They told me to get a real job. It doesn't get more real than this.
I want to go to Bangkok. To swim under the stars. And then I want the perfect room to feel at home. And when I book, I want it to be for the best price. Can you show me how? Hotel. Trivago.
Now for the latest offer from the Tab. This NBA playoffs, back either team at the line and you will get $1.95 lines on all matches. That's right, $1.95 lines for every NBA playoff match.
Harvey Norman Super Sunday. One day only. Super deals store wide plus 5 years interest free. This Dyson Origin barrel back, only $398. Get a Blu-ray player for just $1 with every 50-inch TV or larger. Guaranteed 10% off Microsoft Surface Pro 3. Now from just $865. Up to 30% off lounges, dining occasion and home office furniture. Up to 50% off mattresses, ensembles and Manchester. One day only with a super 5 years interest free store wide. Do not miss out. Super Sunday, only at Harvey Norman.
Play the part or break the mold.
High-class action from the heart of the Emerald Isle. Top-class horses, trainers and jockeys converge on Kildare for the grand finale of the jump season. 12 grade ones over 5 days at the Punchestown Irish National Hunt Festival starting Tuesday night.
Authoritarian on top, makes his way towards the 1200, a length and a half clears, a Topaz is second, Cuban Fighters third on the inside, followed then Montpellier, who's progressed to fourth, and two lengths to General Zabil, who's running about fifth down on the inside of Prince of Persia. Two lengths to Dane Hustler, Colour of Money, a length further back as Gift a Lad, pulled out at 1,000 metres to make some ground. They were being followed as they raced down towards the business end by Gold Seal and Berserk, and General James has started to run around those and he's trying to make some ground. 800 left to go in the St Ledger. Authoritarian led by about a neck here. Two's at Topaz and there's Gifted Lad. He was let go and he's quickly rushed up on the outside and he's joining the leaders and General coming with them as General Zabil in the red blink as he's putting in his run around the outside, and they're followed by Colour of Money starting to come home. Into the straight they race. Authoritarian stays closer to the inside. He leads by a couple of lengths at Topaz. On the outside, Gifted Lad. Generals of Eel boxing away only now. It's Authoritarian going pretty well. 300 metres left to go. He's about three lengths in front of Gifted Lads. And Topaz is battling away on the inside. And the rest were headed by Dane Hustler. But Authoritarian about three lengths in front still to Gifted Lad. And Cuban Fighter rallying. But it's Authoritarian who'll go pretty much all the way in the St. Ledger. Authoritarian won it by three lengths to Cuban Fighter ahead to Gifted Lad.
It's been a bit of a hard luck race for me because I won it many, many years ago. And I had about four or five seconds in it. So, but I thought this horse was perfectly placed today. You know, like, he was going to eat up every yard of the 2800, and the soft ground was just perfect for him.
Yes, just listening to Lee there. The last Freedman-trained horse to win the St. Ledger was Frontier Boy, right back in 1990. Remember him?
I do remember.
Mucking his box out.
I do remember. I probably was at the time. Yeah, he was a big brown horse. He was a nice old horse, Frontier Boy. Look. That horse, Authoritarian, he got beaten in a Donald Maiden. But he's only had five starts and he's nearly a four-year-old. So he's, I think Lee said to me, he's taken a leaf out of some of the European trainers' book. Because Lee spent, while he was away from training, quite a long time in Europe watching what they do with the horse. And he told me, particularly about this horse, he said, I've picked up some things from the Europeans and from Lloyd and from other people where he's been. He said, and this is a horse that... he's not going to improve enough to be a competitor in the big spring events, but he might be a horse that hits his peak as a 5, 6, 7 year old, like those European horses, if he's developed the same way. Now, okay, he's won on a wet track here, he's led all the way, he's a genuine stayer. It's just now a matter of developing to his level, and I'm sure that's what Lee will do. He won't overface him, he'll just let him mature and try and make a genuine mature stayer out of him.
He's got a big climbing action like a European stayer, that's for sure. Look, the problem with him, there's not going to be enough races around for him. He's a 2 mile wet track plodding stayer.
Yeah, but over a course of about 5 years, you'll find enough of them.
Yeah,
if you can keep him going that way.
Would he not be a South Australian Derby horse? Well, that's where the St. Ledger horses usually go.
It's probably where he takes him, but, you know, looking forward to the spring, Lee won't be aiming that horse at a Melbourne Cup or anything like that. He'll be aiming him at races he can win.
The best thing about that race is, it's another year before we have to go through it again.
Well, see, now this is the attitude, Ron, which has led to European stayers just coming down here and cleaning us up. Now, that's okay, you're entitled to your opinion, but that's the attitude that's led to it.
I'm saying it wasn't a spectacle, it was a good spectacle, but as far as future and following the form, you know, we had a Gosford Maiden winner there, a Goulburn Maiden winner there, a horse that got beat at Donald that bolts in.
The point I'm trying to make to you is don't try and follow the form over the next 2 months.
Agree.
You've got to follow it over the next 3 to 5 years. You know, it's a long
good luck.
Just on the winning jockey, Daniel Moore, he's done a great job there on that horse, and he's heading to Mauritius over the next couple of months during the winter, and he made mention during the week in the press that he's getting away basically because it becomes too hard for a senior rider in winter with all the good apprentices in Victoria, those 3 kilo claimers. He said he can basically go over there, get more of a go, and then come back in the spring when he's on level terms.
Yeah, he understands that horse.
Yeah, look, he's a good stable man, Daniel Moore, and he'll do well overseas, and it'll be a good experience for him.
Good luck to him. Hope it's a really successful stint for Daniel Moore over there in Mauritius. One other good race at Flemington yesterday, stakes race. It was the Anzac Day Stakes over 1400 metres for the 2-year-olds. My Poppet and Petrarca were the equal favourites at $5.
Followed a length and a half to Grey Petrarca down on the inside, followed by Zero Red, and then Sea of Tranquility, a half to Gingy. A length and a half further back in the field, then Lizard Island racing out wide from Invincible Knight, and then 4x4 as they go by the 800 metres, and they're followed by More Than Most in the yellow colours. A couple of lengths away to Miss Clooney, Zara Beale, and at the end is Truculent coming around the turn, and Letta Rip is the leader. She's got back in New Zealand, but she's jumped well today and has it narrowly. From in second placing, ridden along on the outside is Jack's Choice. And My Poppet looks to travel well in the blue sleeves and cap. Petrarca's got up behind them from Zero Red and then Robert the Hero, Invincible Knight, and Gingy next from Sea of Tranquility. It's Letta Rip in front, but My Poppet coming on strongly on the outside and Jack's Choice in the middle. They come past the 300. These are the three leaders. And running on is Petrarca down the outside. And More Than Most is coming right down the outside. My Poppet claimed the lead at the 100-metre mark. My Poppet from Petrarca, Lizard Island finishing it off well, but it's My Poppet in front, and My Poppet wins from Lizard Island by a length. Petrarca third.
We don't want to be too aggressive, having a 2-year-old 1400 sort of first time, a lot in the same boat. I just want to be really smooth and worked out that way. I sort of rolled across, and even though I was three deep, no cover, we're just in a really happy spot on a slow tempo, and yeah, like you say, she did the rest.
All right, my pipette. Richard, the Aldersons, look, they've got some long-term goals. They think maybe she might be an Oaks filly. Obviously, that's a fair way down the track, but all going well, she might come back for a tilt at the Oaks in the spring.
She did a very good job there, because the three-wide no cover is the suicide strip at the 1,400 metres at Flemington, and she sat there and just kept batting on. Mm. So the run was full of merit. Petrarca had the drop on her, couldn't pick her up. I don't think the races we're showing actually showed the true nature of the track at Flemington yesterday. There was a fast lane against the outside rail. Now, these races didn't come out there, the races on the circle. The races down the straight certainly did come out there, and even races on the circle, horses like Gibio got right out against the outside rail. So it's going to be a hard form to read out of that race meeting, because there definitely was a strip against the outside rail. Tempered against that, the pace had to be in the race as well. If there was no pace, they could keep going in the middle of the track. So it was a tricky place to read form out of.
Yeah, a few nice horses there, I'd say. He's just riding so well, Zara. He's got beautiful hands. That filly's been a bit aggressive in the past, and he just settled her beautifully, and he's a beautiful rider to watch.
Okay, let's round up some other racing from around Australia. There was a very nice winner in the first in Sydney yesterday. Unusual name too. Let's have a look.
It was an impressive start to the career of Godolphin filly Painted Firetail in the first race in Sydney for the two-year-olds. Despite being wide from the jump, when James McDonald went for the Lonro filly in the straight, the race was all over.
Marston, Dane Sluggers at the rear as they race around the corner, and Stravigo in front, Concubine under plenty of pressure, followed by Lindwell in third. Coming right down the outside is Painted Firetail, but still has many lengths to make up on Stravigo, who's two lengths clear from Concubine, but Painted Firetail is starting to let rip now with a big run down the outside. Estravigo in front. Painted Firetail starts to level up now, and McDonald takes the Lonro filly to the front, and Painted Firetail eased down the last bit, wins at a length and a half.
Race 7 at Randwick was lucky to escape the big storm which eventually caused the abandonment of Race 8. Bede Murray's Darcy Magic had put the writing on the wall with a fourth place in the provincial championship final, and here the gelding came from well off the pace to take victory along the outside fence.
Plenty of ground as they straighten up. Any day will do in front. From Blackjack, placed under pressure. Intimate Moments going up the inside. Now down the outside, we've got Sense of Occasion, and further back to Darcy Magic. Wide out, it's hitting the lead now. Sense of Occasion from Darcy Magic. Intimate Moments trying to go with them. Telepathic making ground. Sense of Occasion just the leader from Darcy Magic. Out in the fast lane, and Darcy Magic rests the lead now, and Darcy Magic extends away to beat Sense of Occasion. Intimate Moment third.
Race 1 at Ascot was considered a race in two between Neville Parnon's Malibu Style and Simon Miller's last start Lestir Classic winner Liberty's Gem, which was first up from a spell. The 2 3-year-olds led the field together, but it was Liberty's Gem which was able to kick strongly in the straight.
Malibu Style has got the racing fitness coming at Liberty's Gem, but Liberty's Gem finds 200 to go. He's just holding Malibu Style for the moment. Two lengths away, Cadenza. Liberty's Gem three quarters in front. Malibu Style can't get to him. Liberty's Gem holds Malibu Style in the run to the post, and the fave wins it by a long neck.
Still to come, we head to Morfordville, where a host of South Australian Derby hopefuls highlight a big day of racing.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming which is simulcast from Sky Racing 1 on Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the Programs tab.
Imported Thoroughbreds won nearly every major staying race in Australia last year. Now it's your turn for a piece of the action. Import Racing are offering shares in an athletic colt by Gun New Zealand sire Darcy Brahma to be trained by Group 1 winning trainer Tim Martin. This speedy colt was purchased from the highly successful New Zealand Ready to Run sale and breezed up extremely fast. Don't sit back and continue to watch the imports steal all the success. Join Import Racing and be a part of the winning formula. Import Racing, real horsepower.
Be there Saturday, May 2, when Hawkesbury Race Club hosts Sydney's only race meeting. The 4X Gold Hawkesbury Standalone Saturday with 3 group races and $1 million in prize money. Major races, major prizes, major fun at Hawkesbury Standalone Saturday, May 2.
At Morphettville, well-backed favourite Knight Rocker took the field along in the listed City of Adelaide handicap, but was under siege as the field swung for home. Top weight Dylan Sun was sweating on a run behind the leader, but knuckled down to his task when seeing daylight to lead home a 1-2 for trainer Philip Stokes.
Caligari deeper, then Dylan Sun, Jacinta, Defiant Angel running on with Lighted Up. They run to the 200 metre mark, and Knight Rocker led the stablemate Caligari, Defiant Angel, Dylan Sun. It's Kenneville versus Stokes at the moment. Dylan Sun went through to take the lead from the stablemate Defiant Angel, Quinella for Philip Stokes, and Dylan Sun wins.
Victorian visitor Jeff Eels crossed state lines for the Nitschke Stakes on the back of a good second behind Sama Tested at Caulfield. John Sadler's filly broke well and was able to get away with some cheap sectionals, ensuring she had plenty in reserve when race favourite Actuariat loomed after encountering traffic problems.
200 left to run. Jeff Eels led Alco Bro. Actuariat gets out now, then Pepper the Pin. Jeff Eels, it's stolen a big break though. Jeff Eels well clear from Actuariat, then Alco Bro and Pepper the Pin, and Jeff Eels goes on to score. Jeff Eels first, second Actuariat.
Magicool, which ran fifth in the Victoria Derby last spring, looked well placed in the Chairman's Stakes. But the favourite blew his chances when missing the start, leaving it to October date and $61 shot Maysore to fight out the finish and turning in pleasing trials for the SA Derby.
October date, it's starting to charge down the outside. Maysore reached the lead. October date's coming after it. There's no sign of Magicool, but it's October date and Maysore. They're fighting it out. They're clear from Time Walker, Choo Choo Charlie and Grumpy Guru. October date and Maysore. October date, Maysore coming back. Maysore, October date, desperately tight.
There's only a nose in it, but October date got the judge's verdict there. He's only had six starts, Ron. He's won three of them, and that was his first run for 5 weeks, so it's probably a fair assumption that he'll take some improvement from
it. Yeah, look, it's a nice derby trial, isn't it, considering the situation and the timing as well, and he has got quite a good little record, and first and second put a margin in him here. Maysore's still a maiden in the Mick Price stable, so maybe he has some upside as a stayer. The favourite here back in the field, look, just a total forgive run, Magicool. He's still running into dead end. He's missed the start. I know he was beaten a long way, but he could improve out of sight on that. He's just runs into another dead end there, just behind the main pack. Total forgive for him, I'm saying.
He might stay on for the derby as well, yeah, which is coming up on the 9th of May.
They've got a big meeting next week. Obviously, they've got the Sangster and the Oaks next week.
It's carnival time over there, so two group ones next weekend. One of the other great riding careers in the world is over. Tony McCoy, AP McCoy, had his last race ride last night at Sandown. 18,000 people turned out to see him. He finished third. Unfortunately, he didn't go out a winner, but look, champion jockey 20 times, Ron. More than 4,300 winners. I don't think he's got too many complaints. He's had a wonderful career.
Oh, has he what? And did they turn up in droves yesterday to give him a marvellous send-off? And, well, he's a champion, isn't he? He's a champion.
Well, he's ridden 289 winners in a season.
It's amazing.
He's just a freak, and he's done it for so many years. He's broken every bone in his body, basically. When he does pass on, they'll keep his body for science. He's just been a phenomenon, Tony really? McCoy.
Amazing stat there. He's had 1,000 falls.
Yes.
Is he really?
No, that's
falls.
Not the amazing stat. He's come back 1,000 times. That's the amazing thing. Why would you do that to yourself?
He's had an incredible career, as I say. Sadly, he didn't go out a winner. He finished third. And, Brent, tonight from Hong Kong, we've got an important race coming in featuring Criterion, who won the big race in Sydney recently. He goes around in the Queen Elizabeth Cup at 6:35 tonight.
And taking on the horses that he met in December last year in Designs on Roman Military Attack. And while they had the better of him on their home turf last time, he was probably at the end of his campaign, but he goes to Hong Kong now fresher than what he was. He's had only three runs in Sydney. He was dynamite winning the Queen Elizabeth Stakes here, and off that performance you'd have to think he's going to be right in the mix from barrier one. Ron, have you sort of looked at the form?
I've had a good look at it, but I'm tipping he's going to be running overs on that Hong Kong tote.
Craig Williams will be over there to ride him.
Well, he's certainly going a lot better this year.
Oh look, he's great form
and wasn't far away last year, so he's in every chance.
He loves a trip away too, doesn't he? Travels the right Criterion, and Tommy Berry's up there in Hong Kong tonight too. Week ahead, next Saturday is Hawkesbury, but we've got Wagga before that. Their big carnival's coming up, including the Cup. Hawkesbury next week, $1 million is what the day's worth with the big standalone Saturday. Morphettville, there's the two Group 1s. And Toowoomba next Saturday, that's the Feature Brisbane meeting with the Wheatwood Handicap. And there's also some very strong international racing, including the Run to the Roses, the first Saturday in May, which is Sunday our time. The Kentucky Derby, of course, coming in from Churchill Downs next week. So we'll be talking about that next Sunday morning. That will be just wrapped up, I'd say, by the time we do the show next Sunday. Tappy announced his retirement during the week, do you know?
Yes, I do.
You would have worked with him on Retro for a few seasons.
My word, it's a great man.
A wonderful career.
Yeah, it certainly was. I worked with him for a long time. I count him as a friend, and he's a, you know, he's been an ornament to racing. And Philip Vella's funeral was this week as well, which is a very, very sad thing for New Zealand racing. And I know we go to New Zealand, and condolences to the Vella family. He's a huge personality and great character. And
What he's done for racing. Couldn't put a price on it, could you? Yep. Tappy's going to finish up here at Sky in June. And also the Tamworth Cup's on today too. So good luck to everyone heading to the Tamworth Cup. All right, boys, thank you for that. We'll be here next week reviewing the big Hawkesbury card. Are you heading out to Hawkesbury, Brent?
Yeah, looking forward to getting out to Hawkesbury. Always a big day that Brian Fletcher and his team put on. And up to $1 million in prize money, as you mentioned now. And I think there's a couple of very nice horses heading there. Last year we saw Chautauqua win the Hawkesbury Guineas. So it's a meeting that you can follow the form.
Some good horses have come out of that. We've got to go. That's it for today's edition of Racing Retro. Thanks for being with us. Have a good week.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing. Feel sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
Come on! Yes! First ball! 300 posts and a goal for the Wanderers!
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And a very good morning on this Sunday morning from Paul Langham, and Trent Langscale joins us as well. How are you, Trent?
Going okay, and yourself, Paul?
Yeah, very well on this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And, of course, it is Tab Talk, and we're going to have a couple of special guests on the program today.
We will. We'll have Ian Strachan, who's the chief editor of golf.com, to have a look at the soccer and just talk about what's happened in the A-League over the weekend. We've got the last day of the home and away season, and then also the EPL, a couple of big matches tonight. You've got Everton against Manchester United, and then Arsenal, if they're any chance of catching Chelsea in the EPL title race, they've got to win their match at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then Bryce Hayes, who trained Major, who was victorious in race 3 yesterday at Randwick in rather interesting circumstances. Completely missed the start and somehow got home and won by 7.5 lengths.
Yeah, amazing run, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic run.
Well, that's a couple of guests to look forward to, and of course plenty happening with tab.com.au, plenty of sports and racing markets available.
There is, of course. We had a big day yesterday. Firstly, important day with Anzac Day, but we had the NRL and the AFL have their matches yesterday, and there was plenty of action in both codes. So we'll start with the NRL, where, well, Gold Coast, they caused a surprise against the Warriors, and North Queensland, they continued on their winning ways against Newcastle. St George Illawarra, they've now won 6 in a row, and the Sydney Roosters, they consigned them to a 4-straight loss, although their biggest concern there was getting out of the hailstones there at Allianz Stadium. Frightening conditions there for a period of time.
Certainly was.
Manly, they managed to find their bunny again in Melbourne Storm. They've beaten them both times this year, the only wins they've had. And then the nightcap, if you will, Brisbane getting over the Parramatta. So looking at the two matches today to finish round 8, there's no Monday night match with the representative action starting to take place next weekend. You've got at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Pepper Stadium, Penrith against Cronulla. Penrith were the original favourites at $2 and Cronulla at $1.85. I emphasise Penrith were the original favourites, Paul, because in line betting, the Panthers are giving away a 1.5-point start. That's at $2.10. The Sharks plus 1.5 at $1.75. In the margin betting at the end of normal time, you've got the Sharks by 1 to 12 at $3. The Panthers 1-12 at $3.10. The Sharks 13+ at $4 and the Panthers 13+ at $5. And then 4 o'clock this afternoon at Barlow Park in Cairns, South. They need to get back in the winning form. They're $1.37 favourites though against Canberra at $3.25. In line betting, the Rabbitohs giving away a 10.5 point start. In the margin betting, the Rabbitohs by 13 or more at $2.25, by 1-12 at $3. And you've got the Raiders 1-12, $4.50, and 13+ at $8.50. The premiership market is wide open in the NRL. You've got North Queensland, South and Sydney Roosters all at $6.50. Brisbane $7.50, Melbourne $8, St George Illawarra, amazing, about 6 weeks ago, 150-1 after they lost their first two matches and they were about to lose their third. They walked off GIO Stadium at Canberra at halftime looking like they were going to lose that to the Green Machine, but the Dragons are now at $9. You've got Canterbury at $11, and you get out to Cronulla and Penrith playing today at $21. West Tigers also $21 after their win against the Bulldogs on Friday night. So that's sort of a recap of round 8 of the NRL, Paul.
Right.
And then in the AFL, we had the 5 matches as well yesterday. Carlton getting their first win of the season against St Kilda over at Westpac Stadium in Wellington. You had Collingwood, a surprise victory against Essendon, according from an odds point of view, although Collingwood do seem to beat Essendon most of the time on Anzac Day. Greater Western Sydney, their good form continued. They got over Gold Coast, and all of a sudden it looks like the Giants are the better of the expansion teams over the Suns. And then last night, a couple of, well, they were coming into the matches, they were absolute rippers. Port Adelaide, a barnstorming start against Hawthorn. They got out to as much as a 58-point lead and then just hung on grimly to defeat the defending premiers. And Fremantle ended Sydney's unbeaten start to the season, similar to the match between the Power and the Hawks. Fremantle got off to a flying start, and then the Swans, they caught up to them to a certain point in the last quarter, got it to within a kick, but the Dockers managed to steady there and win that match. So we've got the 3 matches to finish round 4 this afternoon. 1.10 from the Gabba. The winless Brisbane Lions $3 against West Coast at $1.42. In line betting, the Eagles giving away an 18.5 point start. In the margin betting, the Eagles under 39.5 is at $2.15. Over 39.5, $3.30. And you've got the Lions under 39.5, $3.50. And over 39.5, $15. 3.20 at Simmons Stadium. Unusual to see Geelong, the outsiders here, but they are injury depleted. They're $2.35 against North Melbourne, $1.62. In line betting, the Kangaroos giving away a 7.5 point start. In the margin betting, the Kangaroos under 39.5 at $2.25. The Cats under 39.5, $2.80. Then the Kangaroos over 39.5, $4.75. And the Cats over 39.5 at $9. And then the last match, the Twilight at 4.40 from Etihad Stadium. The Western Bulldogs $4.15 against Adelaide $1.25. The Crows giving away a 26.5 point start. Margin betting, the Crows under 39.5, $2.20. Over 39.5, $2.50. And then the Bulldogs options to win under 39.5 points at $4.40 and over 39.5 at $21.
So plenty to wager on today with tab.com.au. They are about to line up for the first on the card at Rangiora Harness in New Zealand to Love to Dream, the favourite here at $1.30, head of 9 Real Raider at $4.60. And that mobile is starting to roll there. So we'll go to Rangiora and then back with the first of your guests here on Tab Talk today. This is Sky Sports Radio and Rangiora, New Zealand. 2,600 metres, the journey of the first. Let's hit across there.
Of the driver's challenge, he does look to have two very, very good drives to top and tail the program. Let's get up to Matt Cross, race number 1, the Daking Group mobile pace over the 2,600.
Thank you, Greg. The first of many very good races today, and it might be one of those days where you might see a bit of a multi running for a couple of these favourites. 100 metres away from dispatch point here for race number 1 this afternoon. Good luck to you if you're having a play. Thank you for joining us on the track. The Rangiora Classic race day. The YFR Mobile is a go for the first. The green light goes on and they're racing. And Real Raider from the outside of the arm was the one with notable speed. Smackwater Jack is through on the inside looking for an early trailing run. Third early, All Nuts and Bolts progresses forward to get 1-1 running line cover to Love the Dream after 200 metres. On the inside is Old O'Carney from Yippie Kaye, 3 back the running line around Christian Lady. Millwood Larnaca's third to last off
the fence. Two lengths away then to She's Wicked, and Gabby Star is last. Inside the 2,200 metres they go, and from the outside of the yard it is Real Raider, the daughter of Real Desire, leading by two lengths on Smackwater Jack. Although Carney is three back on the inside, third and a neck away, fourth, All Nuts and Bolts as the speed backs off. Through along the inside to race fifth now is Christian Lady. A head away next to the outside, Love to Dream, two to Yippie Kaye. A length and a half away to Millwood Larnock from She's Wicked under a stronghold, second to last, and last is Gabby Star. Off the top, just a little more than 1,800 metres left to go on the first. The Dakins Group Mobile Pace is led by Real Raider. A length and a half in advance of Smackwater Jack, the two-year-old is in the trail. Parked in equal third is All Nuts and Bolts around the outside of Old Ocarney. Next, Love to Dream is about five or six off the leader, covering up Christian Lady. Then came Yippie Kaye, a length and a half to Millwood Larnock, improving three wide. On its back is She's Wicked, and in turn two lengths away last is Gabby Star. Speed not overly quick as they come around to complete their first lap in the first today. Over this 2,600 metre distance, the race is led and dictated by Real Raider. A length and a half on Smackwater Jack is Millwood Larnock, improving to third as She's Wicked is three wide fourth. Old Ocarney three back on the inside, All Nuts and Bolts is about to be three back in the running line. Next pair, Christian Lady, the favourite Love to Dream, has been shuffled back seven lengths off the leader and one off the pegs, a length and a half to Yippie Kaye and two to Gabby Star last. They have a little more than 1,000 metres left to go, and Real Raider has been in front by just over a lap and leads by one length on She's Wicked after a mid-race move is now parked. Third and behind the leader, Smackwater Jack, a length away next to the outside, Millwood Larnock. It comes up Old Ocarney, a half a length away then to All Nuts and Bolts from Christian Lady. A neck away then to Love to Dream, yet to move, third to last from Gabby Star and Yippie Kaye. 700 metres out from home and Real Raider with Blair Orange leads by one length only. Over She's Wicked, second, Smackwater Jack has enjoyed the run of the race behind the leader. 1-1 fourth, Millwood Larnock from All Nuts and Bolts and Old Ocarney. Then came Christian Lady. Love to Dream now comes three wide, Gabby Star to its outer. Then Christian Lady and Yippie Kaye. 450 metres left to go, it is Real Raider leading by a length and a half now. Over She's Wicked under pressure to the outside. Favourite four wide here, Love to Dream. It's around the outside of Millwood Larnock. Yoldi Lane shortly for Smackwater Jack. Then came Gabby Star, All Nuts and Bolts and Old Ocarney. It is Real Raider in front. Here's Love to Dream. Just got the head to the side but came up fast. Smackwater Jack. Then Millwood Larnock. Love to Dream. Tim Williams was just foxing halfway down the straight. It swept to the lead under, down to the line. And Love to Dream pricks the ears with 50 to go. Love to Dream won it and beat home Real Raider maybe just ahead of Christian Lady, then Gabby Star and Millwood Larnock. Next to go by Yippie Kaye, All Nuts and Bolts, Smackwater Jack, She's Wicked, and Old Ocarney.
Number two there, Love to Dream, 150 and 104, Tim Williams over number nine, Real Raider, 220, and number 11, Christian Lady at $10.10. Tab Talk, time is 10 minutes past 10. Trent Langscar with me, and Trent, our first guest, joins us on that line.
That is right, Paul. We've got Ian Strachan on the line, the chief editor of Goal.com. I'll spit that out properly this time, the chief editor of Goal.com, Ian Strachan, joining us. And Ian, good morning to you.
Good morning, gents.
We're all going very well here. Just having a quick recap just of what's happened in the last round of the A-League season so far. Brisbane, they played well on Friday night. They seem to be going okay against every team bar the Melbourne victory. And Adelaide United just warming up for the finals. They were far too good for Melbourne City last night at home.
Yeah, that's right. And a bit of a worrying sign for Melbourne City, who have really sort of run out of steam at just the wrong moment. I mean, you can maybe put it down to the fact that they were guaranteed to finish fifth going into this match, but there's a decent chance if results go the right way that they'll be back in Adelaide next weekend. So, on the one hand, maybe they've got a bad result against the Reds out of their system, but on the other hand, you certainly wouldn't want to prepare for a playoff game against this team by being so abject against them.
Yes, particularly being an elimination final, not the best way for Melbourne City. They